Blog Talk Radio.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I had to play that. Merry Christmas and ho, ho, ho. And I don't mean to ho. I mean to
ho, ho,
ho. 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 Santa Claus is coming to town. And
the Griswolds.
Hey, I'm telling you, but is this apple pie good?
Dreaming.
Good?
Only at Mr. Lawson's.
It's an apple pie.
And
some. You would think easy breakfast. I'm telling you.
And again, I would never have guessed liquid apple pie.
Now, wait, you're from Mississippi. What are you telling me you don't know about apple pie?
Oh,
how can you even say that?
Liquid desserts didn't taste like apple pie down there.
I saw that unjustified.
Sophisticated, Michael.
I saw that unjustified. Are you telling me Kentucky is more sophisticated than Mississippi? I mean, come on. The hills of Kentucky?
I think that we had just plain, flat-out, nasty lightning. There's no apple pie.
Well, we're going to get back to apple pie, but I need to tell you about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, no, Vacation was one of the funniest movies I ever saw. Christmas Vacation was...
Oh, no, no, no. No. Listen. I mean to tell you with the putting the lights on and turn off the lights and switch. He don't know what's going on. What's the name of his holy son, brother-in-law was emptying out the RVs.
The sewer.
But one of the funniest things in that whole story is when he had his tree up. And grandma says, I heard it again. It's a squeaky thing. And they're all listening. Chevy Chase's name. Chevy Chase.
Mr. Griswold, huh?
No, so he's looking. He's listening. He says, yes, I heard it. And he goes and looks between the branches. And as he looks through this one branch, there's this squirrel looking dead at him. And he screams, ah! He jumps out of the way. The squirrel goes flying out of the daggone tree. And everybody screams and runs and hides. And the squirrel is running all over. He says, we got to get him. And he says, I'm going to go in there. We're going to catch him. And his father says, I'm going in with him. And the mother passed out. And then the dog is chasing him through the house upstairs. And he said, where'd the squirrel go? The squirrel is on Chevy Chase's back. He's running up the stairs. Well, anyway, I want to tell you, that was a movie. But I want to tell you, it happened in real life to my daughter.
Yeah, what happened to her? Poor daughter. That was
last week. So, doing homework downstairs with my grandson, father's down here, doing homework. And he said, let's put on the fireplace. So he goes over, takes the lighter, lights the fireplace, and he didn't close the doors, So he turns around, starts walking back to the kitchen table, and all of a sudden, this thing jumps out of the fireplace, and it went right by him, and he screamed, and my grandson, William, he screamed, and the thing was on fire on his back, and he's screaming.
On fire.
My daughter's upstairs. What's going on? I don't know. Something huge, something massive jumped out of the fireplace, and she comes down the stairs and halfway down because she's afraid to look in there, and he's on top of the couch, and the baby's on top of the couch, and I said, yes, where'd it go? I don't know. It's around in somewhere. It was huge. So they'll look for my door. He says, well, I don't know where it's at. Don't let it up here. He said, well, where'd it go? He said, it must be under the couch. And he said, oh, my God. So he's got the broom in his hand. So he jumps down and runs to the side door for the backyard. He said, I don't see nothing. So he says, it's got to be under the couch. So he takes the broom and pushes it under the couch, and the couch is up against the wall. So they can't see anything. He said, we've got to move the... He said, I felt something under there. And smoke is coming up from under the couch, right? So he gets in there and he pushes, I don't want to jump on me, whatever it is. And he pulls the couch out of there, and there was a squirrel there. With its back smoking. And it was a vibe like that. It was playing flat on its stomach with its legs out, straight out like, bye-bye. It was sucked off. And it couldn't get up. So what happened? They don't have a captain. So it must have fell down into, it was in there before he let it. It must have been knocked out. So it caught on fire till it woke up. But it was able to jump, but it couldn't walk because the legs were broken. So it was laying flat on the stomach, so you pushed it, and it just kept turning around, looking at the food like that. So it was laying on the stomach, and I pushed out the front door. There's no lampoon, Christmas vacation.
Your family is the business.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
So it was funny. So when he told me, I was laughing. And then
on fire.
I said the back was all So it was laid out in the front of the yard. So my daughter said that when she came home, next week went out shortly feet. It was laying on the back of the floor, like I got his eyes wide open. And some people were picking at
it.
So I don't
know.
Too bad. Anyway, squirrels,
oh,
please.
Take care. Back in a while, I'll get you a squirrel ornament.
It was. I got one in there. I got one in there. I was given one about 6 years ago. The judge.
Judge
gave it. Anyway, so.
Man,
that was a
real-life Griswold.
A real-life Griswold Christmas vacation. It was funny. So, we're still here. We have an apple pie, too.
Oh, apple pie.
Let me have another taste.
I'm telling you, that apple pie is something else.
Mmm.
Thank the federal marshals of the Appalachia for this suggestion.
Yes,
we appreciate that.
This is very good.
Look at that date there. 12/21/12. Does that mean anything?
12/21/12.
I don't know, but we are doing a live radio broadcast.
Yes.
And it's not from the void.
You don't think it's from the void?
I see sunshine and trees outside. So what's going on here, Mike?
Well, maybe this is the netherworld.
Ah. Or maybe we're just left behind.
Ooh. You mean those? What was the name of that show? The Left Behind?
Yeah. Well, if we are left behind, there was a whole bunch of us left because I had a hard time getting here today with the traffic. Roads were packed.
There was a...
So apparently only, five people left.
There's something. This is December 21st. The Mayan said it was the end of time. So I want to play a little bit of something for you.
For centuries, the prophecies of Nostradamus have been part of the historical record. While highly speculative and controversial, their author's legacy endures. Viewer discretion is advised. December 21st, 2012. Daybreak doesn't come. All remains dark. The world has come to an end. Many ancient cultures from across the globe describe startling events that seem to be taking place now. Are they pointing to 2012? Newly discovered drawings that many believe are from the famed prophet Nostradamus may hold the answer.
We're really on the edge of the biggest ride in all of history.
Life on Earth has faced extinction at least 5 times before. Is Nostradamus telling us that another epic disaster is on the way?
2012 is kind of the beginning of upheavals in the world, rather than the end.
Is 2012 the year the cosmic clock finally winds down to 0 days, zero hope? Decoding the final predictions of Nostradamus may provide the critical answers before the clock strikes 2012.
Yes.
Well,
I mean, voiceover aside.
Yes.
I love how these freaky conspiracy shows and end time shows, we can always, no matter what the culture, even though it's a 1,000 years before Nostradamus, if they didn't know it, the Mayans existed and it's a different culture.
Yeah.
We can still somehow relate it back and find a Nostradamus quote.
But here's the thing. The Mayans were wrong because they never figured leap year. If they figured leap year, it should have been over a year and a half ago.
And put on top of that we don't know half of what the Mayans thought, because we burned all their books.
My goodness.
Don't have all their stuff translated anyway. And then, of course, they've found other calendars that go beyond and everything. And then, that all aside, even if you believe it's the end, what they said was it's end of a cycle, not the end of time. So it's just a new
motorcycle?
A new cycle. Yeah. New motorcycle beginning here. So anyway, but I love all of that type of stuff. I used to grow up just, Yeti. I met the Yeti, landing by the Great Pyramid.
Well,
the ancient astronauts built. That's my type of story. Oh, I just love that.
Well, then you'll like this, and this is from NASA. This is what NASA said about this old storyline.
The issue with December 21st of 2012 and the predicted disasters that some folks think will come probably started with the so-called end of the Mayan calendar. Their calendar does not end on December 21st, 2012. It's just the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new one. It's just like on December 31st, our calendar comes to an end, but a new calendar for the next year begins on January 1st. Nibiru is supposed to be a planet that's four times the size of the Earth. It's going to get very close to the Earth and cause all kinds of disasters. So this enormous planet is supposed to be coming toward Earth. But if it were, we would have seen it long ago. And if it were invisible somehow, we would have seen the effects of this planet on the neighboring planets. Thousands of astronomers who scan the night skies on a daily basis have not seen this. And then there's folks who think that NASA astronomers are actually hiding this information so as to prevent panic from the populace. Can you imagine thousands of astronomers who observe the skies on a nightly basis keeping the same secret from the public for several years? Some folks think there's going to be a solar storm associated with December 21st of 2012. Now, solar storms do exist. The sun's activity goes through a cycle. It reaches a maximum every 11 years. The next solar maximum, when you might expect enhanced solar activity, will take place actually in May of 2013. It's supposed to be a fairly mild solar activity maximum, and there's no evidence that there's going to be any solar storms. And then we have planetary alignments. There's a planetary alignment, the sun, the Earth, and some of the planets are aligned, and this is going to cause some tidal effects on the Earth that are going to be catastrophic. Well, first of all, there are no planetary alignments in December of 2012. And even if there were, there are no tidal effects on the Earth as a result. The only two bodies in the solar system that can affect the Earth's tides are the Moon, which is very close, and the Sun, which is massive and also fairly close. But the other planets have a negligible effect on the Earth. One of the myths for December 21st, 2012 is that the Earth's axes are going to somehow shift. The rotation axis can't shift because of the orbit of the Moon around the Earth stabilizes it and doesn't allow it to shift. The magnetic field does shift from time to time, but the last time it did it was 740,000 years ago, and it doesn't do that sort of a shift, but every half million years or so. There's no evidence that it's going to happen in December, and even if it were to be shifting, it takes thousands of years to do so. And even if it did shift, it's not going to cause a problem on the Earth, apart from the fact that we're going to have to recalibrate our compasses. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Since the beginning of recorded time, there have been literally hundreds of thousands of predictions for the end of the world. And we're still here.
Oh, yeah.
We are still here. Now, listen.
Yeah.
If George Bush couldn't end this planet.
Hey, he gave it a good go.
And if he could not end this planet, George W., not H.W., if he couldn't end this planet, there ain't no time soon.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, this was the guy that was parking tanks on top of Babylon, right?
Right.
That guy?
Right.
Yeah.
I love the show that comes on 1 o'clock here, coast to coast. And they have been talking about this for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the host will say, well, you know, we're going to have a show that night, and we'll just see what happens. Yeah, well, so I was doing the research on this last night and whatnot, and I looked at the time, and it was 12:30. I said, holy cow!
Yeah.
But maybe they mean when the sun rises.
Yeah. It's always, maybe it's 30 minutes later.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it was West Coast time. Or
yeah.
I mean, maybe it's going to happen out there first. I mean, I don't know.
I was like, hey, look, this morning I was on.
I couldn't even sleep.
I was on the computer. I have friends all over, you know, and I was on the computer this morning in Australia. and I was already passing over into the next day, right? So I'm like, are y'all still there? Well, are you still there? They're like,
nothing.
Of course.
Now, is there any other place that haven't reached Friday yet on this side? No.
Oh, no. We're now
Friday. We're now consumed in Friday.
Consumed in apocalypse, you mean?
So that means now, did they
You know, I didn't check, but maybe there's some 2-for-1 apocalypse drink special somewhere.
Gosh, no.
That would have been a good one.
Now,
in the world party.
Hey,
I saw that in the world party.
They
had that in the world party last night in New York City. That thing looked pretty nice. Fireworks and everything. There was all kinds of stuff going on. It was amazing looking. I was like, we should have done that. But, you know, we got apple pie, so it don't matter.
Hey, I'm telling you.
But listen. Yes. This stuff cracked me up. Now, I used to love this when I was growing up. All the Nostradamus and, you know, Easter Island and airplanes that vanished in the Bermuda Triangle and, you know, the mysterious Stonehenge. And this stuff's all cool and neat and all, but I love this. Like, even that NASA bringing all that Nibiru,
that
Zechariah Sitchin, that guy comes up with that whole
right.
thing about that we're the children of star gods or something and, you know, from Venus or something. I don't know. It cracks me up because it's endless permutations on this. You remember just last year we had that evangelical guy that for the 12th time or whatever said it was the end of the world. And
where is he?
And he's planning the next end of the world.
He
keeps having to recalculate because he keeps misreading the scriptures, he says. Such a sad day. He needs to try, you know, tarot cards or something. I don't know. He's doing it wrong. But these people are cracking me up. It's endless. But I do love how it's become multicultural, at least. At least it's broken out some, you know, because now we can have, like, the Mayan, Sanskrit, French philosopher, you know, Druid of Stonehenge, Melange, somehow that also connects to the Roswell UFO, you know, and it's all in there somehow. They get it all in there. I love it. I love it. Yeah, why just have one disaster when you can have 50 at once?
Why? Why not?
Yeah, well, I did see a funny, though, this morning. Editorial cartoon. Had two scientists looking at, you know, archaeologists looking at a Mayan calendar. And they were deciphering. They said, I'm deciphering the last ruins here. Here's the last script. You know, da, 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 da. Okay, the pictograph says, he goes, oh, my God. It says the Republicans. Vote to tax the wealthy. And the other scientist shows up and goes, oh, my God, it is the end of time.
About the Republicans taxing the wealthy. Did they, those regressive party members, leave John Beta out to hang and burn?
Oh, man.
All they had to do was just put a doll up in that and hang it and burn it.
You're on CNN, all those poor reporters talking about they went in that closed session and then all they could hear was booing and screaming and yelling and stuff. Come out. I'm surprised he didn't come out covered in tin. You know what I mean? who needs a voodoo doll? We've got John Boehner.
It is just unbelievable. You know, and the thing is, didn't they learn anything from the last election we had in November?
Why didn't you have my microphone down? No one
or,
people are hearing me.
you're ranting into the air.
I'm ranting into the air. No one's hearing me.
Yeah, but look, these guys, they don't learn any lessons. They didn't learn anything from the election. They didn't learn anything from last year when they drove the freaking economy into a wall.
Into the dumpster.
Yeah, and got us for the first time ever, damaged our credit rating. These people are insane. There was a guy on this morning on MSNBC or CNN or somewhere. One of the senior Republicans came out. And he said he was deeply embarrassed and sad about what happened behind
closed
doors.
Oh, I think I saw him, right.
We didn't get to see y'all right. or hear what happened, mm-hmm. but the gist of it, you know, is Boehner just got his, you know, Boehner handed to him. And
Boehner?
Yeah. And he, but the guy said he was very distraught, and he said, this is it. You know, the party hasn't, learned the lesson. They're not behaving. He said the extremists have taken over now, and he said it may be the end of Republican power because he said if we can't learn to, you know, manage and rule and pass things as a majority, which means compromise. He said, if you can't learn to govern, you won't govern. And he said it may be a generation before they're back in power because of this. These guys would rather go down in flames than to pass a law and help the country in any way.
Absolutely.
I mean, they would rather stand on quote-unquote principles, which are just principles.
Yeah, but whose principles?
They're principles of destructionism and destruction. They're not principles of anything. But they're quote-unquote principles. They would rather do that than to see. And to me, this is the thing that bothers me. It is so anti-American. It's unbelievable. You're against, you know, the government. You say that government is the problem. You want to drown it in a bathtub, you know. You're against taxes. You say taxes are the problem. You want to abolish the tax code. These people want to abolish the Federal Reserve. They want to abolish everything. Then what are they talking about? I mean, we worry about terrorists in Syria and Al-Qaeda hanging out in the caves of Pakistan. What the heck? These people are here in America talking anti-America.
This is it.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Yeah, what evil lurks in the heart of a Republican?
Regressive.
Well, there's a difference. I agree with you. There's a total difference between the Republicans and these so-called Tea Party or whatever you want to call them, these extremists that have come in, because they don't know anything about governance.
Nope.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't even want to govern because
it's
they're
not about government.
No, but if you look, it's just like we talked about this years ago. Remember when Palin was running? And I said,
Palin,
you remember that? Yeah. The one that has Russia.
The Duchess?
She has got, like, as soon as you pull a curtain aside, Russia.
Out of the kitchen window, right.
But this was a person that, even at that time, I said, how could a person like that even make a national party ticket? And the reason was not that, you know, she was completely unqualified, which was true, too. But the point is, they were anti-American from the get-go.
Okay.
If you remember, her husband and all was an active member for years of a secessionist party of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They hate America. They wanted out. They actively had a platform, ran on it, supported it, gave speeches every year at it. And only when she became governor, by mistake, but when she became governor, the press hit that, they're in a secessionist party. Well, they broke ties with them and disavowed that and said, we won't, you know, attend their annual meeting anymore. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, you know, rabid, rebellious anti-Americanism. And these people go to Washington and want to control things. And yet their only agenda is to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Their only agenda is to end American government. They don't like anything. They don't like the federal government. You know, these are people who said the problem with Waco was not that you had a psychopath sleeping with children and proclaiming himself to be Jesus Christ with an AK-47, no less. You know, speaking of,
Jesus always packed.
That'll feed right into to our later part of the show. But this is a guy armed to the teeth in his private compound going, you know, bring it on and shooting up, you know, the government. And yet, when that tragedy unfolds, which anybody could have foreseen, you know, coming a mile away, when that tragedy finally ended, these are the type of people that blame the government. They don't blame the crazies with the guns sitting there, you know, shooting in the name of Jesus. So I don't understand how or why the Republicans have allowed these people in, but now they've effectively, like you said, taken over or destroyed the party from within. And they are sitting, some of them, in the halls.
Well, about 70 years ago, FDR warned us.
Let me warn you, and let me warn the nation against the smooth evasion that says, of course we believe these things, but we do not like the way the present administration is doing them. Just turn them over to us. We will do all of them. We will do more of them. We will do them better. And most important of all, the doing of them will not cost anybody anything.
Again, how do you run government without a tax?
Well,
you know, how do you pay for a road, a school, a military?
Well,
you know, how do you build that aircraft carrier?
Well, wait a minute, build it.
Yeah.
We didn't build it. The government built it. Oh, no. They built it. They built the roads. They built the tanks. They built the submarine. They built the YF-22. That wasn't the government.
Yeah. It's just like it's insanity, and it's like children in a way that don't know anything about how something runs. But they just won't think. You know, it's like, you know, Christmas time right now. You have kids that just come up like kids do this all the time. Well, Daddy, I want this. I want that. I want that. Everything they see.
Well,
they have no idea if it's $5 or $500 or whatever.
Well, now, some kids do, because Blake came over to me and he says, Grandpa, I want shrimp. He wants some shrimp.
He wants shrimp.
I want some shrimp.
That's pretty
awesome. He said, but you know what? No. I want some crab legs. I said, you have crab legs money? He said, no, but you do. I said, how do you know that? He said, because I saw you open up your wallet. You had money in there. What? What are you talking about?
Well, that one didn't fall far from the tree.
He said, I saw it because it had the picture of Benjamin Franklin on it.
He's got Benjamin Franklin? He's got some Michael tape.
You give me a break, Benjamin Franklin. So, well, I mean, he had a Christmas pageant at his school last week. I'm going to talk more about that when ended that. But at the Christmas pageant, after it was over, whatnot, he went in his classroom.
No flame in squirrel.
No, no flame in squirrel. So that's the other grandson. This is Blake. So anyway, so I go into the classroom, and I said, I got in there before his mother did, his father, whatnot. And I said, oh, where's Blake? And he said, oh, you must be Blake's grandpa. You look just like him. I said, all right. So, yeah, he's over there. He said, you know what? Anytime you want to know anything about the presidents, we ask Blake. He knows all about the presidents. He said he knows FDR. He knows JFK. He knows Tricky Dick Nixon. he knows Ronald Reagan. He knows Bill Clinton. He knows Barack Obama. He said, and Mitt Romney never became president. So he said, oh, yeah, we always ask him about it. So he's looking at every single thing you do. So when he saw the picture of Franklin, he says, I can afford
crab legs. Oh.
I said, but he never became president. He said, he knows his picture. I said, Dad got a phone from his mother. She was taking out the money and showing the money, everybody's picture on the money. These are famous people in history. Oh, my gosh. Give me a break. So I can afford it. But
You know.
But you're absolutely right. The regressive party, the main thing we kept hearing, stop digging.
Yeah.
You need to stop digging. Your hole is now over your head, and you don't have a ladder in there. You will not, and they have all these groups. They are now, they should be known as the group party.
Right.
Because they're not, you know, who's the one that said that, the famous poet, and he said, I belong to a political party. He says, not the political, he said, I don't belong to any political party. I'm a Democrat. I forgot his name who said that, but it'll come to me. But this is what they have come to. They have come down to, they're not a political party anymore.
Well, the thing is, to put together, you know, tabulation, they made those deals with the devil. You know, we talked about that before with all these Republicans. And they went to, you know, because they were painting themselves into a corner with the ultra-conservatives. But trying to win elections, they were trying to put together blocks of voters. But they, of course, went to the, you know, let's get the old KKK in. You know, let's get the old religious nutbag in. Let's get the secessionist in. Let's get whatever. So they went to these. Yeah, they just went to such extremist groups and promised them, you know, whatever, the moon. But they've now compromised their entire party. They've compromised all the integrity that they had. And basically, it's a coalition of kooks and haters and just anything negative that you can think of. And my favorite, that's why I call them the Republicans. They also just have the brutes, you know, the bullies. They get these vicious people in there. I mean, that actively, I mean, they'll just say hate, hateful things about anyone, you know. But they, that's all, if you've noticed, everything that comes out of them is negative. They don't have any pro.
They're not pro anything.
They're not
for anything.
But they're against everything. They're against everything in America. They want to close the borders. You know, they don't want
but
to.
But they also misrepresent anything. What is actually said.
Oh, of course. No, they're just because they are liars. And thugs and crazies, and so they'll do anything or
right.
say anything to get ahead.
That's right.
And that's what's so distressing to me, because the party is becoming a, like you said, a nothing, a coalition of fruitcakes. It's like, you know, it's like that old fruitcake at the holiday party that no one touches and just sits there, you know, week after week, you know, or something.
Right.
It's going to eventually just fall apart and be a bunch of lumps or something, but nobody knows what it is. What was that part? I don't know. Looks weird.
But we had a and we ought to thank our lucky stars. We ought to thank our lucky stars that before we get it, we had two deaths this week. One famous Senator Daniel Inouye from Hawaii, who lost an arm, got a Medal of Honor. He got two Bronze Stars.
The second longest serving
senator. Second longest serving senator ever in history. Yep. And Daniel Inouye was a bright man. Where he first came to prominence was Watergate hearing.
Yeah.
The same place that nitwit who's now relegated to selling reverse mortgages on TV, Thompson, who should have stayed in the movies and on TV and never should have tried, but he was trying to capitalize on his name, even though he got his butt handed to him in the Watergate hearing, because he was the lawyer for the Watergate committee.
Right.
And the thing is that Daniel Inouye, that's what made him famous. He was one of the people on the Watergate committee.
Right.
The thing is that...
It's like when the government had honor. You know,
that's when
we actually
had a working
right.
government.
Well, and this is more important, too, a working judicial branch in the government itself, even in Congress, a working judicial
right.
Thought or spirit.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, I talked to you for a long time about all the horrors of the Bush administration mm-hmm. and the... the torture scandals, the this and the that, and I was very distraught with this country. That's obviously the right thing. I think we've been talking about this. But we've never yet addressed the fundamental problem. We've never compared it. We just kind of screwed on the part and say, well, we'll let him go.
Right.
Well, you know what? You can't let people go. I mean, if we would let Nixon go, you know, if we would let things like that, it would profoundly change the future of the country. I'm afraid that we've profoundly changed the future of our country because we refuse to investigate or charge. Even if you're not investigating, I mean, we have everything from, you know, the fraudulent voting machines that were, you know, having Jewish voters vote for an empty Jewish rabid crazy guy in Florida. You know, I'm all this crazy.
There is a, I think that's another story we talk about.
Of course.
But the thing is that, but part of what you were saying is, you mentioned Nixon, and that's the other person, Robert Bork, died.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine this country if Robert Bork would have been on the Supreme Court? Well, we wouldn't have had Scalia, Antonin Scalia, because he was chosen in his place. But the problem is that.
But it would have been worse.
I mean, just listen to this. This is Robert Bork, okay? he was the former Solicitor General, conservative legal theorist, and Federalist judge of the United States Supreme Court of Appeals of District of Columbia, which was often a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. And that's why when Reagan announced that he wanted to appoint him, he was nominating him for the Supreme Court in 1987, to replace Justice Lewis Powell, a moderate jurist, okay, within an hour of that announcement, Edward M. Kennedy ripped that man to shreds. Because here's the thing about Robert Bork. These are some of the things he believed in. He believed that senior judicial he was the senior judicial advisor for Mitt Romney also. So that means that he was influencing Mitt Romney.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was one of the
scary campaign. Parts there. Absolutely.
That was one of the scary parts there. You remember it wasn't just Bork, it's that whole Cutter, you're talking about the Nixon nights.
That's right.
And the thing is, people forget this, but we did it under W, which is why we had, in my opinion, a return to criminality. But you had Cheney. You know, you had that whole little group of guys that have come back like the effing plague. They come back because, again, we didn't ever put them all in jail. But they come back, and Bork was one of them. And he was, with some other high-level guys, we won't get into the whole Romney campaign, but if you look at them, they had all insinuated themselves into that campaign.
Oh, yeah, the other guy with the crew cut that was the louse over there.
What they stand for is dangerous. Look at these policies.
Absolutely. He also played a critical role in the Watergate crisis as Solicitor General under Nixon. He's the one who carried out the orders to fire the special prosecutor in the Saturday Night Massacre.
Right.
And see, I remember that happening. I remember them breaking into NBC. I was watching NBC at the time, and they broke into NBC News.
Right.
He also is the one who handed down notable decisions in Federal Court of Appeals that turned out was a watershed event. And this is where we get, it says get balked. Well,
yeah,
this is what it's all about. It says, until the end of his life, Judge Bork argued that American judges acting to please a liberal elite have hijacked the struggle over national values by overstepping their role, especially in many of the important decisions on civil rights, liberties, personal autonomy, and regulations of business. He said he advocated, these are some of the things he advocated for. He advocated for a view of judging known as strict constitutionalism.
Right. These are the same way, though, we got some of those guys.
That's right.
The Supreme Court now.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that proclaim the Constitution is dead. It
right.
can never grow.
It never grows. Can't expand.
Yeah.
But we have an expanded clause in the Constitution, elastic clause. Okay. Now, he said he argued that the Constitution values to those explicitly enunciated by the farmers and to reject those that involved in later generations. He dismissed the view that the courts had rightly come to the aid of those neglected by the majority.
Because you got to remember, in this atmosphere back then, these were the pushback, the fight back, the horrified of the civil rights.
That's
movement.
Right. That's
this
right.
was when suddenly black people were getting rights. Suddenly, they were talking about women's rights.
But he's definitely
just going down that whole line. And so this was the pushback. And these people said, you can't expand rights. You can't have these people.
He said he felt that the majorities, through legislatures, should be empowered to make all decisions in the Constitution. Not specifically addressed by the Constitution. He also took the assertion that in 1970, the Constitution explicitly directed the right of privacy that bars states from outlawing abortion or use of contraceptive as marriage. That means if you're married, you still can't use it.
Right.
But Ted Kennedy said in North America, it's a land in which women would be forced to be back alley abortion. Black people stood at segregated gun towns. Road police could break down city doors in the middle of the night. School students could not be taught about evolution, writers and artists to be sentenced at the whim of the government. The doors of the federal courts would be shut on streets of millions of citizens of whom the judiciary before and often only protector of individual rights that are at the heart of our democracy.
Right. That's one of the cornerstones of America.
Absolutely.
It's always been that you can't take rights, even if you're a minority. Even if you're a minority of one, you have
well,
the right.
Well, is this the reason why that you know, the need of the many outweighs the need of the few, but it's
right.
The few outweighs the need of the many.
But see, but this is one of the privileges going to be different. You know, this is the difference between the same period that they fled everything because they didn't have faith in their authority. You know, they didn't have to worry about the fear of deferring or the fear of not having rights just because it came from Germany instead of England or Italy instead of Germany or whatever. That's part of the point of America.
Well, in 1971, he wrote that the Indian Law in the Indian Law Journal, he argued that the First Amendment protects the free speech had been wildly extrapolated.
How many levels is it that this guy writing all for that
it is.
Yeah. There's about 40 something.
Right.
So, as he's attacking the first.
Right.
Continue reading.
He said, he said that the protection of free speech has been wildly extrapolated beyond the intent of the constitutional frame. And a soft and narrow interpretation, he said free speech exists to perpetuate the process of self-government. Therefore, he wrote, only explicitly political speech about government.
So in his world, only the ruler can speak. Oh,
and that rabble.
Wasn't that fascism? That's what we tried to get away from in 1776?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, give me a break.
You know, the king was the voice of the land.
Absolutely.
And that's what he just said. Only the rulers can speak. Isn't that amazing?
He said, and he later got on the bench, and he said 5 years, he sat 5 years on the bench, and showed a record of stark servitude. He often denied plaintiffs the right to court hearings, showed strong deference to the executive branch over Congress, and gave wide latitude to business over government regulation.
Right, which is that long-running Republican strain of corporatism. They just love corporations and don't think there should be any oversight or any kind of restrictions at all.
In one of his opinions, Brandenburg versus Zeke in 1984 dealt with the Navy's power to fire a veteran for consensual homosexual activity. Judge Bork not only granted the Navy that power, but he also took the opportunity to make clear that as the right of privacy did not exist in the Constitution, if the revolution in sexual morals that the appellate proclaims is in fact ever to arrive, he wrote, we think it must arrive through the moral choices of the people and their elected representatives, not through the mucus of the court.
So, again, those darn evil gays. It all comes down to the gays. Again, you're talking about but because it sounds like, but these are people who are literally advocating for no privacy doesn't exist. You have no freedom of speech.
They were getting back for that under Bush.
Yeah, that's what is so mind blowing. But this is the hundred times. You know, Bush changed operating in the world and other people. Blackout everything. Well, they use that.
If you knew the truth, you can't know what we're doing. But
These are the people that came up with,
well, we want to know what you're doing.
You know, every echelon. You know, we want to monitor your phone calls. We want to monitor your computers. We want to know what you're mailing. We want to know what you're saying. We want to know what groups you associate with.
Yeah.
Who your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, and then this right here, you know, we want to know what you're doing in bedrooms and everything else. No, but you don't have
a
right.
We want to make it a constitutional law.
Yeah, but you don't have a right yourself.
I mean, this is what these the Jim DeMint and these other morons are saying right now. I said, but, you know, when it got to, but the
and
thing.
Speaking of other deaths, Jim
DeMint. Yeah, well, that's another story
yeah.
altogether. Elliot Richardson was the Attorney General. This is during the Watergate in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And when Elliot Richardson was, he was given the task because of what happened by the Congress to appoint a special prosecutor. And he said he would do it. Elliot Richardson was a decent, he was
right.
a Republican, but he was a decent judge. He was a fair judge. He was a decent man. He believed in the Constitution. And he said, I will appoint a special prosecutor, and I will not control that special prosecutor. That special prosecutor will have all the leeway to go anywhere he wants. And he appointed, I think Archibald Cox in time was the dean of the Harvard Law School.
Mm-hmm.
He appointed him, okay? And
because back then they believed in neutrality and the honesty.
Absolutely.
So you could have an autonomous body.
Well, they didn't own the court. They didn't own
the
system yet.
Again, this goes back to what I'm talking about with the Republicans today. They don't respect government. They don't respect the
they
court.
Don't respect the
they don't
law.
Respect the
only
law.
Their law.
Yeah.
Only their law that they can create.
So, freaking joint.
So Elliot Richardson, I mean, not Elliot, Archibald Cox wasn't in there 2 weeks, and he said, give me, when he found out about the Watergate take, he said, give me everything. And that was done by accident. They found out about that. He said, give me everything. Nixon said, no.
Yep.
He said, well, give it to me. I'm going to give you a couple of days. No. He said, good. We're going to subpoena him.
Yep.
And Rich said, Nixon said, you're fired. He no, he went and told Elliot Richardson to fire him. Elliot Richardson said, I can't do that. He don't work for me. He said, well, I want you to fire him. He said, I'm not going to do it. Elliot Richardson resigned. So they went to Ruckelshaus was his assistant attorney general. Ruckelshaus said, no, I'm quitting too. I'm not going to. It's illegal. He said it was absolutely illegal because under the special prosecutor law that was put in by the Congress, they specifically said that no one can fire this man.
Right.
So he then went to, guess who?
Our old buddy.
Our old buddy, Mr. Bork, who looked like a Bowery bum because he had straggly red beard. He had his hair was unkempt. He was the Solicitor General.
Would you quit talking about the governor of New Jersey?
Well, I'm sorry.
We're trying to
I'm
talk
sorry.
About Bork.
You're right. Anyway, but Bork was a little chubby then too. But anyway, so his excuse all the time has always been, well, you know, I really didn't want to do it, but since he appointed me as Solicitor General, I thought I had to do it. He could have resigned too, but he didn't want to.
He didn't have integrity.
No, he had no integrity.
Remember that his quote? What was it here? I didn't want to be seen as the man that was doing the president's bidding just to save my job.
No, but he did look like the man.
Yeah, because I thought he did. But you know what? Look.
So
hey,
then.
Hey, as we know with Tony Soprano, even gangsters have lawyers. I mean, you know, somebody will work for anything.
But even some gangsters have morals. These people
have no
morals.
At all.
Absolutely. So what happened then was, after that Saturday night massacre, I want to tell you, that's all. And I was home at the time because I had broken my toe or my big foot. On my big foot, on my foot, my big toe, on my foot. I was Bigfoot. No, that's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was on crutches, so I couldn't even work. I couldn't walk.
Right.
I had a big cast on my leg, and I was on crutches, and I didn't put any pressure on it. Hey. So I was home the whole time during the Watergate investigation.
You got to hear all this.
That's right. So then I watched it every single day. Anyway, so the thing was that Ruckelshaus, you know, when he every time, and Nick said, oh no, we fired Ruckelshaus.
But anyway, right. Then the Congress said, uh-uh, because one of the federal judges, I forgot who it was, said that this is illegal, blatantly illegal. You can't fire a special prosecutor. Only if he got something on him that he was doing implicitly wrong, improprietary, doing something. So, Bork,
the
that's right, Bork had to get somebody else. So what, in order to try to make it out nice, he got this guy, Leon Jaworski. And he figured that he's going to appoint Leon. And, Leon Jaworski was one of the biggest lawyers in the country. And didn't need this. So they just misread that again because Bork was the complete dummy when it comes to this. So he said he thought he could get away with it because he was a Southern boy. And the first thing to us, he said, where's the tapes? And that was the end of Tricky Dick Nixon, as my grandson says.
Yep.
Tricky Dick wasn't tricky anymore. So,
because you know what they say, that old adage about shite.
What's that?
No matter how clogged it up, no matter how badly broken the toilet, it'll all come out in the end with the plumbers.
That's right. Let's see who we got on the phone here. And who do I know might be here right now? Let me see. Who is this?
Hey, Michael. Hey. Hey, Michael. How are you? I hope you're ready for Christmas.
Oh, please. You kidding me? I'm looking at a tree here, and I put it up last night. I can't believe I got to be getting old because that tree was daggone heavy. I said, holy cow, Batman. I can't believe it. This thing didn't. I don't remember ever being this heavy before.
The lead model tree.
The trees are getting bigger. That's what it is, Michael. The trees are getting bigger.
You.
Well, they have to keep up with the size of Americans, right?
Yeah, they have to keep the size of Americans. So,
yeah.
did you hear us talking about giving our au revoirs to Mr. Bork?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know that you always hate this. To say when somebody dies, people generally have a tendency to say nice things about them. Well, I got to tell you, there are certain people that don't deserve nice things to be said about them.
You know,
it's one of them. He's one, and I hope that when I go, my enemies will say whatever they want to say about me, and then my friends will say whatever they want to say about me. I don't want anybody to lie.
Well, that's a free world, right? But here's the point.
You're not talking about anybody from the 8th District, are you?
No, but see, I think the difference is, Grace, just like with anyone else in life, you know, there are good people and bad people. There just are. And you know people who do good in the world. There's, you know, not to say that, you know, there's only Hitlers and Stalin's on one side and the rest of us on the other. But if you live your life on the whole trying to make the world a better place, I think everybody has something good to say about you.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yes.
You know?
And I agree. And just being forthright and straight up. And I always tell people, look, what you see is what you get. If you don't like what you see, then don't, don't come around me.
Nope. And the only reason, like, people even remember someone like a Bork instead of him just being a little footnote somewhere is the fact that the man spent decades trying to take everyone else's rights away from them, you know?
That's
and it's
right.
like, but if you wouldn't have spent so much time
on other people. Maybe if you would have helped yourself and your world a little bit better, maybe nobody would complain.
And this folds into these same people. These are the same people who gutted mental health throughout this country, who have gutted anything to do with health throughout this country, because only those with the means deserve anything.
That was their philosophy. And you talk about, you know, how our mental health system has been systematically destroyed. We're going to go back and then discuss Mr. Ronald Reagan, okay? Because it is Ronald Reagan that started this mess. It was Ronald Reagan that started the mess about, oh, let's close down mental institutions because we don't need them. We don't need mental institutions. These people will be taking just as good care, if not better care, at home. Really. Really. And so what he started. Now, I really, you know, Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, both sides of the pond, both of those effectively began the destruction of our global economy. Margaret Thatcher over on that side of the pond and Ronald Reagan on this side of the pond. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. What were you going to say, hon?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
We're saying that's what... laughing that, you know, that's where those all those homeless people magically appeared on the streets in the 80s that nobody knew where they came from.
We had people no idea where they came. Where did all these homeless people come from? And what an eyesore. Remember that? Remember what eyesore they were? Remember that? And remember when seniors were eating cat food for dinner? Remember that? I remember it. I remember when inflation was double digits, getting close to the 20%.
But you see, now the thing is that why is it? Is it even something in the realm that, you know, I try to figure, my wife says, you always try to think about something, why it's happening. Because I say, yeah, because it bothers me what would get somebody in it. We don't want to repeat that same mistake. But we are repeating the same mistake. Why would someone want to get rid of mental health? And the only reason that I can come up with, the only reason is because it's better to put somebody in jail because jails can be privatized and private companies can make more money.
That actually is, it's funny, you hit the nail on the head. You see, what happens is that when mentally ill people do something wrong, let's understand that there are several people with mental illness, psychiatric illnesses, that are not crazy. In the sense that they're not whacked out. They're not going to, they're not schizophrenic. The depression is a common cold of mental illnesses. Everyone in their lifetime at one time or another has encountered and suffered some depression. That is common. You know, everyone's caught a cold sometime in their life, once, twice maybe. Well, depression is the same way. Everyone at some point in time of their life or another has been depressed. About, who knows? Anything can happen. You know, your mama died, your dog died, or whatever. But some event is always meant, it triggers an episode of depression. Well, but if we don't recognize that, and if we don't do something to help people get over their small episode of depression, then the small episode of depression can be and may be compounded and snowballed so that it now doesn't become acute depression, it becomes chronic depression, and then it becomes, you know, a depressive episode that instead of lasting 1 week or 2 weeks, lasts 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And when you're depressed that long, that lengthy of a period of time, you know, it's rather like, look, if you have a pain in your leg, if you sprain an ankle and you don't take care of it and you start to limp, if you don't take care of that ankle sprain, you will continue to limp and limp, and limp will get worse and worse and worse, and it will come to the point, a point where it's going to be hard to walk. Well, think about that with depression. Okay, something as simple as that. It's depression can be self-correcting. Not saying not always, you know, a death sentence. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Depression can be self-correcting. When the event passes or something happens, you know, you get better, right? Or,
so,
but
like my,
are,
when he started winning. I was depressed for a long time. Now he started winning, they're going to be, I think they're going to win it all, but that's another story. But you're absolutely right about depression. The problem is, though, the problem is that are we noticing depression more now because we have 24-hour news?
No. Okay. Depression has been around. Remember Tom Eggleston? Remember Thomas, who was McGovern's running mate, and he had to pull out because of the news about his depression came out? Remember that?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's been around. It's just that nobody talked about it. Okay, but it's been around. And before, nobody talked about it because it was a stigma. If you were depressed, it was a stigma. Okay, and people call, oh, she's crazy. Oh, he's crazy. When, no, it's not. It would be the same thing as somebody who is having, who contracted the common cold. If somebody is, oh, you've got tuberculosis because you've got common cold. You know, it's exaggerating completely out of proportion, right? We can't do that, and we shouldn't do that. There's more than one factor involved, and this is a multifactorial situation. Depression occurs to everyone. Some people, it'll self-resolve, just like the common cold will self-resolve. But if you don't take care of the common cold, you can lead from the common cold to pneumonia.
But how do we see depression is one thing, and being and having and now I guess it all falls under mental illness, but there's a myriad of things, the different ways mental illness can be treated, and what mental illness is. Well, we have people now, because of the proliferation of guns, have access to them, and don't even have to have a background check because they can go to Joe Blow's house, who's having a gun show, and buy a gun from him.
That's right, and that's the problem. See, now, if we had mental institutions like we used to have, then these poor souls, these poor individuals, would most likely be in those institutions or these places where they can get the treatment. But what has happened is that because Ronald Reagan started this thing, I mean, look, we're closing Dorothea Dix here in North Carolina, which is our mental hospital here up in Raleigh. Dorothea Dix is going to close. More and more people who are mentally ill are being just sent out into the world with no recourse, no help, period, no help at all. I mean,
are there any private institutions here? How many private institutions do we have?
The private institutions are run by the hospitals, okay, and they are essential. They're not long-term. Most of them, I don't know a single one that's long-term. They're all short-term. They're all short-term. And they come in. You got insurance, you can come in. You don't got insurance, tough, man.
The problem is with all this, though, you get the privatization of things. Everything is for profit. It's not for help. And that's the problem. I think a large amount of these issues, if we have, and it goes all the way down the line, just like they're dismantling healthcare, they dismantle the educational system and everything else. My children in schools around here, the little nurses that they have in all the schools, sometimes now they can't afford them. So they have either just a helper or they have a nurse that goes round robin schools, and they might show up for a couple of weeks at a school, just come through, once in a while. And these people are supposed to evaluate an entire population, which, in this case would be a school or some of children, and evaluate them on, one Tuesday out of a month, and then try to remember that, to the next Tuesday out of the month and see if there's a trend or something. It doesn't work, and it's not right. And the problem becomes, instead of being able to have a functional healthcare system that could catch people at any level along the way from school or in the workplace or wherever, and head problems off, like you said, before the common cold becomes pneumonia, head off any health issues of the mind, and it would stop about 90% of the problems. Instead of throwing them to the street.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 And yes. And I agree. All of the above. Completely agree. And so, what do we do? I mean, here's what's happened. What's happened is that this generation has become so so used to the idea that if you've got a crazy Uncle George, well, he's crazy Uncle George, and we'll just hide him in the closet. Okay, well, crazy Uncle George may be crazy nice and that he's funny as all get out. Or crazy Uncle George may be crazy in the sense he's psychotic. Okay,
right,
and you can hide that psychosis in the closet.
Right.
But there's nowhere to put him. Where are you going to put him? There's nowhere to put him until Uncle George actually commits a crime, and then where does he go? Well, most of the time, I don't have the exact figures. I don't know of any studies. I'm just giving you this information, you know, empirically. All right?
Right.
Most times, if a crazy fella commits a crime, he doesn't get sent to a psychiatric institution. He gets sent to jail.
Yeah, well, and you're absolutely right. So my daughter worked at the prison down here in Charlotte for a year, and because that's her field, she had to interview every single person that was brought into jail, interview them for their mental health. And she said that over 65% of the people that came back, she saw them at least 3 times during the year back into jail, but because of mental problems, not because they committed a crime.
Right.
They had mental problems. She said, we don't need more jails. We free up 60% of the space in our jails, and we stopped committing of bringing people into jail because they had mental problems, because they were on the street, because they didn't know what they were talking about. We asked them a question. They didn't know who they were, where they were, why they were there. They looked funny on the street, and someone said, that person's a problem. Arrest him.
Well,
so
they're
you know,
off their medicine or something.
Off their medicine. I mean, do we really want to, is the case. Does the political system really want to control and help prevent these crimes that, like, occurred at Sandy Hook last weekend?
You know, when I hear people say, again and again, that guns don't kill people, people kill people. Here's what I have to say to them. That's right. You're right. Guns don't kill, but people, and people do kill. But people will kill less if they don't have a gun. Okay? It's that simple.
Just like the guy jumping into it, the guy in the movie theater, the killer right in Colorado. He came in with a Bowie knife. I'm going to kill everybody here, and he charged everybody. Starts. How many people do you think? Could he have killed about 35 people? I don't think so.
Michael, why are you disappearing on me? I can hardly hear you. Now you're whispering. I know you're not whispering, but you sure sound like you're whispering right now.
Am I whispering now? Is it better? Is that
better? No, now it's better. Yeah, it's better now. What'd you do? Move away from the mic?
No,
what you doing? Crazy coming out?
Away from the mic.
Well, here's one of the things. I mean, this has actually happened. On the day that we had the tragedy in America, there was an attack in China.
Right.
With a guy with a knife.
Right.
But case in point, they both were forced, obviously, intense. They're both violent. They both had weapons. But the man with the knife killed 0 people.
Right.
Now, he injured around the number of people, but he killed no one. And that should be an absolute, a very good, easy lesson right there. Weapons do matter. So you take 2 crazy people in 2 similar situations, and one can do unbelievable harm because he's got an automatic weapon.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They can say, well, it's my Second Amendment, right? My Second Amendment is obsolete. It's not obsolete. It's absolute. It should be obsolete, but it's absolute. And the thing is that
the people can't read because the Second Amendment, right, if you have the right to a militia,
a well-trained militia.
Militia, precisely. Not anybody that just feels, oh, this is a fun thing to do. Then, you know, people express their machoism and their macha, which is, you know, being extra. They express their whatever, self-esteem or self-confidence or whatever, in the possession of guns. How do you take your kids to a firing range to shoot semi-automatic guns? And why do you need a semi-automatic to go shoot a dad-blamed deer?
Well, I grew up like that. He didn't grow up. His father, they didn't have semi-automatic weapons when he was taking his kids out. You know, and the problem is, though, why do they permit 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 5-year-olds at gun shows?
Yeah.
They don't let them in a bar.
Right. No, thank you. They don't let them in the bar until they're 21. Thank you.
Right. I mean, come on. What's the story here? And all you're doing is taking a drink.
Then I hear this other stupid argument about how cars, you know, even more death stuff. Right. Okay. However, in order to drive a car, you have to get a license. You have to be trained. You have to have some kind of education on how to drive a car. Nobody just throws you behind the wheel of a car and says, go for it. Go drive. Go on. No, somebody teaches you how to drive. You know? It's just absolutely mind-boggling. The argument that people who just refuse to give up their semi-automatic guns, here's my criteria, my yardstick, the way I measure sanity is this. If you really feel that you need a semi-automatic in your house, you're crazy. That's it.
Well,
that's my criteria.
If you need a semi-automatic weapon, an AK-47 in your house because you're in fear of your life, are you expecting the Navy SEAL Team 6 to invade your house?
Evidently.
You mean you live in such a bad neighborhood where there's going to be people breaking in through the windows and the doors just to get you? What did you do? Are you one of the people on the watch? The Secret Service?
Yeah, well, here's another. Let's get back to the hunting thing. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. Was talking about how, you know, well, yeah, I like my stuff, my semi-automatic to go hunting with. And I said, wait a minute. You need a semi-automatic to go hunting with? Well, you must be a piss-poor shot then. Because if you need a semi-automatic to take out a deer, you can't shoot with a doo-doo.
What's he doing? Is he eating all those fragments?
Yeah, I mean, you can't eat them. It's been blown to pieces anyway. Ridiculous on its face.
And did you hear what Rupert Murdoch said? He said, enough is enough. End this lunacy. It's obviously very effective by what's going on. He said, News Corp Executive Vice President Joe Klein said, I think most rational people would think that there's no place for an assault weapon. I don't think it's complicated. He said that Murdoch will continue to advocate for gun policy. He said weapons designed expressly to kill human beings and then modified to meet the federal machine gun ban have no legitimate place in American society.
Did you read the Charlotte Observer today? The news letters to the editor? Got more crazies out there talking about how gun control is not the answer. They got more crazies out there saying, well, the teachers need to be armed. Teachers need to be, really.
Wayne LaPierre. Well, we're going to get to him in a minute. But the thing is that they said, we were always afraid of the government coming to be ruthless and take us over. Now, this is the thing I don't care. I don't care how many AK-47s you have in your house. You can only fire one at a time. That's the first thing. The second thing
and
is...
let me tell you something. You're going to take on the army. You're going to...
Right. They have gunships, they have tanks, and they have Navy SEAL Team 6. What do you when they send them after you?
I know.
What? Die. That's all you're going to do is die. I mean, you know, they have YF-22.
Also, I don't understand this from the Republic. Okay, these are the people who...
Regressive.
These people want to cut funding for everything.
Right.
They cut funding for mental health. They cut funding for the schools. Right? But then in the same breath, you know,
now,
so we need armed guards and all...
$5 billion to arm... Hey, now listen. It's only $5 billion? You know how many schools we have in this country? I guess they're not talking about public schools.
Yeah.
In the Charlotte Observer, there was a letter talking about a rapid response SWAT team at every school. A rapid response SWAT team at every school.
Oh,
yeah.
So, who's going to pay for this?
Well, no, according to this guy who wrote the letter, he said, well, he didn't think that any taxpayer would object to the expense. Because the ultimate objective was to keep their kids safe. Oh, please. Oh, please. I just get pretty nauseous about this thing.
Can you actually believe that these people wouldn't mind spending, and first of all, out of $5 billion, I think that's a low ball figure. I don't think they're including public school systems, since they don't want that anyway. They don't want the public school system.
The years of training, the weapons,
let me tell you something about that.
You would have to rebuild every school in America, because if you had weapons in the school,
that's right,
and you have one person, one trained perfect guard, shoot one time, it goes through three classrooms.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you would have to reinforce every wall, every window.
Because
every,
he's going to be using jacketed steel, jacketed bullets.
You know, isn't it amazing that they cannot fund a school nurse, but it's okay to fund a rapid fire SWAT team?
Yeah, because...
think about the logic and the insanity behind that.
So, Losen, because that tuberculosis that the kid gets in and gives to everybody in the whole school is not as important enough as having somebody, like a SEAL team, sick in the school. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Why have a teacher day when you can have a sniper nest?
That's right. That's right. You could have Arnold Schwarzenegger in every single classroom. That's right. Now, here's the thing. Arming everybody, right? You remember last year when the police... One policeman interrupted a bank robbery in New York. 9 civilians were shot by and chasing this man down the street. This is trained individuals who are professionals, and they wounded 9 civilians in a shootout. I mean, now, and besides that, if kids are near guns, they're going to get their hands on those guns. They will be throwing spitballs at the teacher. They'll be shooting the teacher in the back of the head with him right on the board. Are you kidding me? Right. Oh, yeah. Bring your cell phone class. No cell phones in class. Well, they got guns in the school. Why can't I bring my gun to school?
Yeah. Hey, fair
is fair. I want my child to be safe. That's why I gave them a cell phone, so they could call me. Well, that's why I gave them the AK-47, so he would protect himself and then call me. Right. Well, I went to this Christmas play at my daughter's school, Lady Assumption, on Tuesday, and I want to tell you, I've never been to a children's play since I've been going to, and I was the PTA president of every school both my daughters were in growing up. I have never been to any function where every single parent and uncle was there. You couldn't even get into the gymnasium because every parent was there. And the thing is,
They were talking about their kids up on stage singing. And the other thing they were talking about, what are we going to do about getting these guns out of the school? This was everybody. I didn't hear one person say, you know, I like my gun. I'm glad I got guns. Not one. So what are these people trying to say? See, that this is completely ridiculous. It's stupid. And it's idiotic. And the more they talk about it, we just talked about this before you came on, about there's a regressive party digging themselves a hole in the ground. They dig themselves.
You just got to vote them out. You got to vote them out. That's what it is. You have to vote them out.
What they're doing is they're going to vote themselves out.
Yeah, but here's one of the problems. And this is a very good problem. We've had years of these people getting into power. Because a lot of money. Just like the NRA, was established by the gun companies themselves. Because their original founding principle was, they said they needed to find a vehicle to drive up weapon sales. And they wanted it as a lobbying group in Washington to help that, to get a national discourse going in a patriotic way to drive up sales. That's their whole founding principle. See, they're from the gun lobby. So, but the point is, these people have risen. Like in the election cycle, those figures.
Yeah, well, it was $9 million they used to try to get rid of Obama.
Yeah, no,
$9 million they spent
overall in the entire election. They spent over $20 million.
Yeah,
in all their elections, right? Over 20. You know how much we spent on our side? And
by
Brady Group. No.
$5,000, right?
$5,000 to $20 million.
Right.
So that tells you exactly why that we're even having this debate, because any sane person would have already answered the question. Okay. But we're having this debate because one side is awash with corporate money, and they are buying their money. And we have to seriously. I mean, you're talking about voting people out. No, we have to seriously vote people out and change laws. Because otherwise, money wins.
Well, you know, we had this. Australia had the same problem a few years back.
This is a perfect example.
And 80% of the people that had any problem, 80% of all casualties are from guns. 90% of all civilian casualties are caused by small arms.
Right.
Okay. Now in Australia, we have like 300 million people, and we say we have more than a gun for every person we have in the United States.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, Australia used to have lax gun laws.
They had very, very, very bad, very bad gun laws. And what happened was that they had a serious, and I think it was 85 or something, when they had people killed.
Yeah, but they went all the way through the 80s to the 90s.
Right.
They had a series of these mass murders.
Right.
With guns. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The difference was they finally acted.
Yeah.
I think it was 94, 96, something. They finally acted.
Right.
Because of that one last massacre.
Massacre, 35 people.
Right.
35 people. And they said, well, you know, forget it. There is no need to have an AK-47 or an M-16.
Right.
None. If you are not in the military.
Right.
Now,
that's
I
right.
don't care how many shotguns you have. I don't care how many rifles you have.
We're not talking about
how many bow and arrows you have. But Bambi isn't shooting back at you. Yeah, you ever see that commercial with with the elks and the tigers, the lion is at night walking up to them, and they're watching them through night vision goggles? Okay, that's unfair. I mean, they had a fair unfair advantage against the Lions. But the problem is, this is just unacceptable anymore. We had 20 kids killed. A couple of them shot at least 11 times.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have this Wayne LaPierre, this moron, this complete idiot, and they waited a whole week to come up with a statement that we need to have everybody armed.
More guns.
And
this is the thing is, though, Lucas, they say it every time. They said it at Columbine.
Now,
Mississippi, they said it after the theater shooting.
Right.
Every time there's a shooting, their answer is arm everybody.
Right. Now I want you to listen to this because this is a prime example about arming.
Last Saturday. Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over in Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that done, turn us over to the communists. Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackets, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackets tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. He ain't got no more superiority there. He ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
Now, we just lost, Dr. Gray here. But,
oh, no,
I mean, hey, arm everybody. How come that didn't go over so well?
You know,
because that was the same time when Goldfinger came out, and you remember having Goldfinger when he was fighting with the gun inside the airplane? He shot a hole in the ship, and Goldfinger got sucked out the damn altitude. I mean, come on, give us a freaking break here. This is the mentality of these morons. But, hey, I got to play some one more thing for you. Listen to this. Now, wait a minute. Now,
you know the reason why? There's a big difference between guns and VB.
I hate that Jake on TV.
Oh, I get it. When you thought he was talking about VD and a permissive society, he was smart, huh? You find out he's talking about gun control, he's a jerk.
That's right, and I'm going to prove it to you. How many people in this U.S. of A would like to have guns?
So many, thousands.
But how many people would like to have VD?
You see, that's the thing.
Our man in the street.
Ordinary man in the street. You know, everybody wants to have guns, but nobody wants to have VD. Yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
So
the thing is that this logic was made in the 70s about arming everybody. Now, hey, yes, the guy could have came in with a regular shotgun and fired a couple of times, killed a couple of people, but, you know, how many people walk around the street with a shotgun?
Well, yeah, it's this endless progression. You know, used to people had to go and get a dueling pistol if you were insulted.
Right.
Well, then they could start carrying pistols all the time. You know, be the cowboy and shoot them out right in the middle of town outside the saloon. You know, but even then, maybe you had 6 bullets at best. But nowadays, you got these clips that hold 12, 20, 30 rounds. I mean, it's unbelievable. And arming everything, these are the same these progressives, same people who say that, you know, you can't trust average people to do anything. You can't trust them to have, sexual relationships. You can't trust people to even use boot camp. You know, we need to cut that off. Because remember, when you get 4 people started, all they
absolutely
do is go out and buy crack. So you've heard that argument.
Oh, absolutely. I know you get crack on food stamps.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, no, in the Republican world, you know, that's all that happens. You know, you get 4 people a handout, and they're out there, you know, storing heroin or something. The mental backflip that you have to do to then turn around in the same breath and say, well, we can't give these irresponsible, loser people handouts. But we can give everybody a gun. I mean, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
all. Well, wait a minute. We don't know if they're talking about people who are on food stamps getting guns now. We don't know that.
Well, there is rich white people.
Because that could very well be one of the things that Lafayette forgot to say today.
Well, listen,
he says, they can all have dust masks, except those people on food stamps, because we can't trust them.
Well, you know what? Just every once in a while, even when you restrict guns to those white power enclaves of rich people that have gates, eventually, sooner or later, a Trayvon will walk through.
Walk right through the gate.
They might be visiting a relative.
They might
not really live there.
That's right.
And they don't look like the people there.
That's right.
And so you might get real suspicious. And you might be that trained, hired security person.
That's right. Oh, yeah, like that guy.
It's not like they would have in every school and every classroom.
They
might be that expert, but you know what? They might look different. They might even have a hoodie on.
Ooh.
You know what? Better shoot first. Ask questions later.
Don't even ask questions later. Just shoot.
You know, you don't want to endanger the other kids in school. So if you see that one kid wandering down the hall in the middle of the classroom, everybody's supposed to be in a classroom. Maybe they're going to the bathroom, or maybe they're a terrorist. Shoot them.
That's true. That's right, because how do you tell a terrorist from somebody else?
Yeah, from a 12-year-old wandering down the class. Okay, you know, but again, it's insanity, and it's stupid on the thing.
Well,
it ain't going to happen.
The thing that was so out, because when that teacher writes up that zero on that test, I mean, you're not going to be taking offense to that. You're not, you know, if I remember my brother, old Dennis. I told you Dennis, he's my father. You say, what time is it? 6 o'clock. Time for Dennis to get a beating because I know he's done something wrong. So, I mean, Dennis was smart. I mean, if he didn't have to study, he would get 90s, okay? And he didn't study, and he got his 90s. But so there's two classes. One time he did not, he was failing two grades. And this only had to be the first time ever. We're in elementary school, Catholic school. He was must have been in seventh grade. So what he did was, you see, we had, everything was done with fountain pen back then. No ballpoint pen. Pencil was only good for math. Everything else was fountain pen. So we sat at the desk with an inkwell. And you had to put the inkwell, ink, and you had to bring your own ink and put it in the inkwell. So Dennis's report card, he got a D in two subjects. I don't know what it was. Dennis is smart. He goes and went home. He buys ink eraser. Liquid ink eraser. He's erasing. But he rubbed too hard and put a hole to the report card.
Darn it.
And then he started writing over it.
It was a great idea. It was just a failure of paper.
Failure of paper. So I looked at it and he said, how's this look? I said, don't look too good to me. I said, I think they're going to notice it.
Yeah, they won't notice a hole in
the
report card.
My mother, she showed it to her friend. She said, oh, yeah, I got B's and everything. I got A's in this and B's in this. Okay, my mother looked at it. She didn't say nothing.
Is that sunlight coming through there?
My father. Well, he had it on the table with a bunch of other stuff, you know. And so then my father came home. He showed it to my father. My father looked at it and said, okay. And I said, yeah, didn't do nothing.
Yeah. Did he get away with that? Wow.
Yeah, I said, why? So I went in the room, and all I heard him say, where's my belt? Where's my belt? He said, I ain't had my coat off yet. I didn't even have my coat off yet.
Oh, my goodness.
So the thing is, I try to say that. You know, I forgot what I was trying to say. Anyway,
let me say this real quick. You mentioned Australia a minute ago.
Yes.
I want to point out a fact.
Yes, go ahead.
Because, you know, facts are good. Emotions are one thing.
Yes.
This is very emotional. It makes me mad. I have children in this school. I have three young ones in school that really terrify me with all these situations. I mean, it does. It's terrible. Because, you know, you're reaching a point where, you know, in the olden days,
you might get the bully at school that, you know, bump somebody in the nose. Well, nowadays you might get, you know, Bushmaster Bob show up, and that's a whole different world. So it is frightening. But the point is, when you're distraught or depressed or angry and you're lashing out, you can either lash out with a fist, or maybe you can look around and might even find a stick, you know, or, you know, you've got a major weapon in your hand. And the difference is the weapon. The emotion's there. People are emotional. People get angry. But the difference is weapons. And you mentioned Australia. Well, in 1996, they had the Port Arthur massacre.
Right.
In Tasmania. That's where all the people, 35 dead. All right, we were talking about this earlier. But I want to point out something to people. They had loosey-goosey balls. They had all the assault weapons, the wash and everything. You know, this was right in the, coming riding off of the 80s when everybody in the world was making westerns with Ronnie Reagan, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're all about the swagger,
oh,
you right. know. That's
Death Valley days.
Everything was Arnold Schwarzenegger and or Mad Max. You know, it's like, let's shoot them up. Let's just go to town. But, okay, they had a whole series of these murders. But they did something different. They said enough. And after the Port Arthur massacre, their prime minister, you know, he was a conservative. Now, this was a guy who was fully for gun control.
John Howard
said, hey, too bad. This is enough. They put through just a few weeks a ban on sales of all of
them. And they did it ASAP.
They did it ASAP, but they also did something else. They went ahead and offered everybody a chance to turn in the guns and give them money back.
Right? Ah.
They bought back over 700,000 automatic and semi-automatic weapons. Okay? That's almost a million weapons off the street. But anyway, they bought back all that, right? So people didn't lose anything, right? But guess what was lost? What was lost was their murder rate.
No.
Now, after 1996, guess how many mass murders they've had? Guess how many tragedies and gun deaths and news stories about that have they had?
Zero.
Zero. Not even, not 11, not 9, you know, zero. So, let's talk facts. When someone has a weapon in their hand, they get angry, they're going to shoot. When someone doesn't have a weapon in their hand, they're not going to shoot. It's that easy. And I'm pretty sure they can still go hunt a fierce kangaroo in the outback.
Hey.
You know, they might just have to use a cracky big knife in their hand. But, you know, alligator.
Yeah, that's the reason why he had that big knife.
Yeah. You know, the crocodile hunter and all those ilk, you know, that kind of humorous side. They did something, and they fixed the problem. They were killing 35 people at a time with assault weapons in public, and then after that, zero.
Well, but you see, the regressive party would say they don't have a constitution like we do.
Oh, please, listen.
Our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms.
Again, we've talked.
And I ain't talking about short sleeve shirts.
If that's the case, then give me my Sidewinder missile. Give me my.
Well, no, is it? But you know,
F-16.
It says it gives them the right to bear arms within a well regulated militia, but it doesn't say anything about bullets, does it?
It doesn't say anything about anything.
It says bear arms.
Yeah, arms.
But it doesn't say what kind of arms.
Exactly right. And see, this was written during an age when...
you only had one arm.
And, you know, even if you had the most advanced thing on the planet...
You could fire one bullet at a time.
And you had the body gun powder, and you had to stock it in there.
You had to stuff. Make the bullets yourself.
Yep. And you got to shoot once, and then guess what you did? You spent the next 3 minutes
duck
reloading.
And cover while you're reloading.
Yeah, and you hope you didn't pour the powder on the ground.
That's right.
Now,
so if it was raining out,
but
you're up the deep creek.
Again, listen, at the time, they had things like swords, you know, rapiers, you know, daggers, things like that, that they used a lot more often than weapons, because weapons were rare, expensive, and not to be, you know, lost or damaged in something foolish, like a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why they were brought out in times of something dire, like a war. Between nations. They weren't like for your neighbor Bob. But you don't see people now, you know, they outlaw all this stuff. You don't see people walking around with swords. You know, it's illegal. You even go down to one of the fantasy cons where everybody can dress like Conan
you can't even have an edged weapon.
Now, why is a sword? Why is a sword illegal to walk around with?
Because it's a weapon that can kill people.
Oh, you can't kill people with a gun?
Like,
oh no, because guns kill people. Kill people by guns.
Yeah, they got some like.
So I guess swords kill people.
You don't. There's no sword RA. Or whatever the heck you would call it. What is it? National Sword NSA? Is that what? Well, that kind of has an awful connotation. Never mind. But you don't have a sword association up there in Washington. That's basically why. They have this special loophole for guns. But the point that really bothers me is they act as if it covers every weapon. You know, they get the right to bear arms. It could be anything. But it's not. You can't have machine guns. You don't cruise around like Al Capone and his gang in New York, you know, shooting up people. I mean, in Chicago, excuse me. You know, you don't have swords. You don't have your own nuclear weapon. You know, you can't have certain things. You cannot, you know, land your Harrier jet in the backyard.
Well, but we did have the assault weapon ban, but it expired.
Yeah, they caught that and let it go, you know.
Right, but the thing is that...
And ironically enough, even that was put in place only because Reagan got shot.
That's right.
You know, they're heroes.
So there has been things put in place during, after these violent things have happened.
But we have occasionally acted...
Every time.
Way, and then they successfully lobbied with their millions of dollars to overturn them every time.
Now, the problem is we have over 300 million guns.
How many million?
Over 300 million.
Million.
More than one for every man, woman, and child.
And I think about, you know, 500 for every deer that's left. Holy cow.
Now,
million.
The thing is, you're also looking at this stupid television show, Doomsday Preppers.
Oh, Doomsday Preppers. You know, well, I guess that show expired last night at midnight.
I guess so.
What the heck?
And the government didn't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that is one of them. I was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was watching it. I said Doomsday Prepper. I just wanted to see what it's about. They got this woman and her husband and their daughter and somebody else, and they're building this place out in the woods, and they got food stacked in closets, and they say, oh, we're going to have to bury this underground because whenever the tornadoes come or whenever they come, we have to shoot out. We got to make sure we can live underground. So they got this guy that was blowing up the land so they could dig this big underground bunker. And so then that was the end of that show. The next show, he's saying, well, we're divorced now, my husband and I, and he wants to get half of everything I have.
half the bunker?
Half the guns, half the food. But where is he living now? He's not living out there in the wilderness no more. He's living in the city now. He says, because that's a bunch of garbage. I mean, these people are so full of shit. That's what it is. They are full of it. I'm sorry. They are full of it.
It's like a mental disease.
These are the people that shouldn't have guns because they are mental. And this guy's mother, Lance's mother, was another mental case. She was one of these doomsday preppers.
She had all the guns, and that's why this child had access to them. Because he was a child, let's be honest. He wasn't.
And she wasn't even home.
He wasn't normal.
She was gone on a daggone vacation somewhere. Didn't take excuse to go on vacations by herself. I mean, oh, by herself, doesn't matter. But leave him home by himself 2 or 3, 4 days at a time.
Yeah. Well, because he had guns for a babysitter. That's all.
I mean, why would you leave? So, I had somebody come in and said there were people who looked in on him.
Well, you know what? She had better things to do than to take care of her child. And now he's taking care of all of them. So the problem, again, is these mental defectives who live in fear and paranoia, on the one hand, of the government and of our life and our civilization. And they think that everything that we do is evil and wrong and needs to be broken down and stopped. You know, we can't have schools for everyone. We can't have food stamps for poor people.
Oh, she also homeschooled him.
Of course, because these are the same people who won't participate in our culture. And again, I'm telling you,
now he had a problem. Granted, he didn't like people touching him, whatnot. So, but that was a mental problem that she never took care of.
Is that she, you know, if we had a functional mental health situation, we could have taken care of it. But again, it also could have been brought on by the way he was treated and raised. I mean, you know,
well,
the Lord.
We don't know.
But the problem is, if we would invest in our children and ourselves and our culture, we would get good return.
Now,
right? It's that simple. Now, let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last thing that just drives me nuts. The Constitution.
Well, that's the only thing that just drives me nuts. Just one thing drives you nuts.
I'm telling you, please, God. These documents, you know, the ones that they think are set in stone and can never change. And like, you know, that you aren't a whole human being.
Right.
But anyway, one of the key and fundamental and most iconic lines of anything ever written in America is where it starts like this. We the people. Okay? And this is one of the key things. I cannot understand this weird, regressive hatred of all things America. You know, they constantly rail against the government and the overreach of the government. And government's in your life, taking over. And they hate that, you know, funding of the government and all these wasted programs that we have and the ballooning size of the government and all of this stuff. Again, it's always against the government. Always against mm-hmm. The government is us. We the people. That's the whole point of America. See? It not like Judge Bork back here where he was going, if only we had a king with absolute authority and we didn't have to have a Congress and we didn't have to have a judiciary. We could have one ruler, you know, with one thought, and the only people who had the right to speak were the, you know, ruling class. That was the whole point of America. We moved away from kings. We moved away from the dictatorial systems in old Europe. You remember that ancient regime?
That ancient regime.
That's why after our country was founded, it became the beacon of light and hope, and it became the example. And that's why they had a French Revolution, and then all the way sweeping around the earth, and they had Russian revolutions and Chinese revolutions and every other place. Because people said, oh, wait, you mean we can govern? You know, government for us. And that's why I don't understand. If you're against the government, and you hate the government, you're against America. You're against us. Because we are the government. We're not the problem. We're also the solution, you know?
There was an editorial, even the New York Post is saying, has technology rendered the Second Amendment obsolete?
What? Has it?
Of course it has.
Well, you know, time moves on. Things change.
No. Don't they always stay the same? Aren't we both be conservatives?
You know?
Conservative.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but technology moves on. Like, it used to take weeks upon weeks to get a message from one country to another or from one continent to another. Now you can do it. I can talk to somebody anywhere on the earth.
At any time.
We were sitting here doing a broadcast. I don't know, you know, we used to do a radio station that could reach maybe a county or three. Now we can reach anyone on a little device. You know,
maybe not on
Earth. Yeah, we're broadcasting. No, but you know what? That is the point. It's amazing what they call it. And it does change.
Absolutely.
On the way over here, I was listening. You know, Science Friday, they just came out with that. They just discovered all those planets around stars like 12 light years away from us. But they could figure out, you know, they could only find weird, gigantic planets, you know, around certain places. Well, they've resolved their technology. They've got better technology every year. So now we've already, you know, we know we've got tens of thousands of planets. But then they were looking at some of these planets and they said, well, what if we could just, you know, the sunlight and the solar activity around stars are blind?
Right.
So they got filters put on. And as soon as they turned the filter on, they found five planets around the star. Two of them.
Only I could left the egg.
So
get there,
they found five instantly. So the point is, they said this changed everything because they instantly started looking at all the other systems to find comets. So now they think, you know, planets
may not be alone.
Planets obviously outnumber suns
because every sun is warmer than every solar system has 5, 10, 20 planets. So there are more planets than stars. And this one, not on just for an example, now this is just one.
So we got billions of stars.
Yeah. I mean, our solar system alone has over 200 billion. I mean, our galaxy alone. And we've already found trillions of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about an infinity planet. And just even on this one, we found they had two planets that are in the Earth habitable zone, in the water zone. So they could be completely Earth-like, right? But again, there's technology. Before, we looked up at the night star,
I mean, like Nostradamus did.
Anyway, it bothers the mind what we can do. I'll tell you something about technology moving on faster than we can do. I was watching a show last night. You know how they manufacture things now with printers, 3D printers?
Oh, yeah. I saw something about that. Manufacturing guns.
You can do anything. They can manufacture guns now.
Can you believe that?
So they showed they can manufacture guns out of anything, right? Paper, plastic, anything else. So they did plastic and paper ones. And
what kind of bullets did they shoot? I didn't hear that.
Real bullets.
With a paper gun?
Yeah. But they'll fall apart after a few uses. So they're
You think?
So they were showing that a plastic one, not like the last through a whole clip. Paper ones, just a couple of rounds, maybe six, something like that. But here's the thing. Listen, you can print it off of any printer anywhere. They show you these 3D printers. You can print it.
So we're going to have people making guns out of paper.
Make a gun. And here's the kick of this. It's beautiful. It self-disintegrates. No trace. Yeah. Now, you want to talk about crime? You want to talk about anything? You want to talk about it. You can make a gun, and it's plastic paper. You can go through any detector. Whatever. There's technology moving.
Wasn't there a law that was passed that you could not make those plastic guns?
They have a law now that you cannot. They stopped several companies that were starting to do that online. Just tell them, and they said you cannot make weapons with a 3D printer.
No, but I mean you can't make a plastic gun either.
Yeah, they're trying to regulate it because of the danger.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, technology always moves on. Now, see, the flip side of that is how you use it. Because on the flip side, they were talking about the other day using these 3D printers. They're going to put them on the moon. Talking about putting them in the Mars colony because it solves overnight the entire problem we've had with colony. The whole idea of space travel now is we have to load everything up here, blast it off in a rocket, and carry it there. But now all we got to do is have a printer.
3D printer.
They can throw moon rocks into it. They manufacture a wall, chair, anything they want.
That's a big printer.
Yeah, but you can self-make anything at the location. So then you don't have to travel millions
with
of miles
stuff.
With stuff in a big storeroom in the back of the spaceship. So
just
awesome.
Have enough paper. Yeah, I take a couple of fires with you.
Well, I use the moon rock. But anyway, you just use the local ingredients. But here's the point. It's how you use it. And if we don't get some sensible laws in this country, pretty soon they'll be telling us that, hey, it's their right to have paper guns, that every child should have one, you know? And that will be the next step if we don't do something sensible.
Well,
because technology always moves ahead of you.
Everybody knows Joe Scarborough.
Oh, yeah, Joe.
And Joe, I mean, he has been a gun rights, Second Amendment guy. He got into the act the other day. He said Joe Scarborough called on the Regressive Party to revise its stance. Do they want to be seen as the party of Glock?
Party of Glock.
Or the party of Bushmaster? The party of combat-style military weapons, rapid-fire magazine clips. Yeah. If they want to go around and debate for the next 4 years, good luck, he said.
Yeah.
He would rather see the GOP fight for less taxes, balanced budgets, smaller government, restrained foreign policy. But if the party wants to defend Glocks and Bushmasters, Scarborough said, we will lose.
Yep. And again, it's all about attitude and intention. Because, you know, like I mentioned, our favorite Palin a while ago, these are people who were actively, for years, not for, you know,
1 week, but for years advocating leaving America, seceding, fighting against the government, making their own nation. That type of person, if I don't want to, you know, stress the point too much, but Gabby Gifford is an American hero, largely because she is a survivor. Okay? But we have in her almost the ideal image of what's wrong. Because here is a contributing member of our society, a citizen who has decided to serve her country, so she goes to Washington to make laws and help the nation, you know, become the world power it is.
Right.
And for that, she has some lady who doesn't believe in America, and her and her family belong to a secessionist party against America, that puts on a website sites on Gabby Gifford and everybody else that she didn't like. If you remember that, she had a website calling for the elimination of liberals. Right? And if you don't think it's connected, this is a lady whose own campaign ad for her riding around on a helicopter shooting wolves with assault rifles. You remember that?
I remember.
You know, yeehaw, cowboy to the nth degree. That's the whole image of this whole conservative BS movement. You know, we're the gun-toting cowboy coming back into town. Yeehaw. Okay.
I don't believe any of that. She should have fired a gun in her life. Maybe she fired once.
No, listen,
please.
It is the same thing as Reagan and the same thing as W. Reagan at least owned a real ranch. But anyway, Reagan was an actor.
And rode a horse.
Yeah. Reagan, though,
at least
was
once.
An actor,
right.
He rode horses and carried guns because he pretended
paid to do it.
To be a cowboy.
Right.
For films.
Right.
Okay? But they loved that image.
Right.
And so they tried to become that image or brand it. And then the ludicrousness of it is that to get elected, you remember Bush, they're shrewd. They're savvy people. To get elected, he adopted the whole mantle of Reagan. He was the swaggering cowboy. And they were so craven about it that you remember they went out and built that fake ranch?
Yeah, and matter of fact, I heard today that they would go out and get people to come on the ranch to make it look like it was a working ranch.
Ranch, right. And the whole front was an empty house, that little board house they owned, because they actually had a mansion. But he had the little board, you know, house, like he was a little bitty, you know, little ranch. And then he talked about
clearing the road.
Yeah. You know, I'm going out to clear some brush. Oh, that it was just so embarrassing.
It really came to fruition when the president of Russia came over.
Oh, Putin.
He says, I've been practicing riding horses. Where's the horse?
Let's go ride.
He is the only horse I got here. 450.
W couldn't even ride a horse. Didn't even own a horse. Yeah, but see, that's again, it's image over reality. It's myth over reality. And that's the same thing with it. I'm going to fly around in an airplane, machine gun down wolves, and then I'm going to put up a website telling all my followers to shoot and kill, lock and load. That was the term she used. I'm sorry.
Lock and load
on the competition. And you know what? Someone did. Someone picked up an assault rifle and went and shot Gabby right in the damn head. Okay? It killed her staffers, killed the people around her, that you know, shot some innocent civilians.
A Glock, or was that a rifle?
I don't even care.
It was a Glock.
The thing that makes me mad, though, is that, again, instead of any kind of sane response, we've got LaPierre and all his people saying, let's just arm the teachers and the schools.
I mean, can you imagine him? See, I missed it this morning because I was tied up. But you're telling me this man, I mean, I cannot believe, how are you going to have the nerve to come out and say, let's arm everybody?
This is all they ever say. Do you remember
how? But they were going to make a firm presentation of how we could solve this problem once, where it would never happen again.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, he did this last time in Columbine.
He said they were going to solve the pollution. They called for legislation by all the Colorado legislators that were out there to put guns in the schools and to arm every teacher. That was their call then, arm every teacher. And they even said older students and stuff could have guns. You know, everything, right? They went all out. They did so much. This is the most insulting thing I've ever seen in my life. They opened a gun show next to the school. You remember that? In the town?
Yeah, absolutely.
That
well,
was their response. Their response was, let's arm the teachers and children and let's get more guns into
the school. What is her name? Young lady, three young ladies that's on MSNBC at 2 o'clock. Oh, God, why can't I think of her name? Cameron Hall.
Cameron Hall.
She says in her mother's town, where she, because she's from Texas, she grew up in Texas. She, her mother lives out in the sticks in Texas. Said right across the street from the elementary school is the biggest gun shop in that county. Across the street from the elementary school.
Now, again, in traditional conservative Ma Pa Mayberry Street dreamland myth of conservatism, you could not have a bar across the street. You couldn't have a strip club across the street. You couldn't have a park full of pedophiles across the street with nice swing sets. But you can have a freaking gun store?
Fistful of dollars and a gun in your face.
Yep.
Thanks. So what LaPierre is saying, what he was saying is, oh, it's those movies.
Yeah.
It's those guns with all those liberal Hollywood elites out there, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess we need to talk to those people. They got to stop making them movies. Oh, no, they're talking about the ones that Jamie Foxx makes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the ones they're talking about. They're not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone and Clint Eastwood, who between the three of them have killed more people than all the movies that Jamie Foxx ever seen.
Yeah. Or that hero of theirs with his cold, dead fingers.
Or his cold, dead fingers.
Apes. You should shoot more apes, right?
That's right.
Here we go again with this. And I'm not a fan of this. Now, I do agree that there is far too much extreme violence in our films and on TV. It does kind of nauseate me.
We're going to talk about that.
And there is violence in our video games. My kids play these games that make me stand on my head. And I tell them all the time, turn this off, you know, whatever. When I come
because in, you can't beat them. See, that's what everybody is like. You can't beat them. You can't beat them in the game. That's the reason why.
Now, here's the thing, now. I am absolutely firmly in favor of anything goes creatively. You shouldn't censor things. People should be able to say what they want. People should be able to...
Except not fire in a movie theater.
Well, no, there's a difference between what's on film and what's in reality.
Absolutely.
Okay. So creating something, that's like saying that you shouldn't ever write a war book again because it has horrible scenes of violence in it. You know,
But that there is a difference between imagination and not. You know, you shouldn't have Star Wars. It had a lot of.
You don't think there's a lot of killing in Star Wars? Oh, but laser is different from
right.
a 45 caliber.
I think you should have all of that all day long. You know, Jamie Foxx and the Man with No Name.
Make my day.
Yeah.
Make my day. Do you think this is a 44 Magnum, the strongest, the biggest single handgun in the entire world? Do you think I fired five, or do you think I fired six? And do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, right. So what was that all about?
Again, this is just more than being...
But it was Clint Eastwood without an empty chair.
Yeah. It's,
so it was fine.
This is, again, this is their fantasy world, right? That's why you only hold hearings and investigate rap music. You know? That's why you only lambast. I mean, what was it Palin was saying the other day that she got upset about? She said that she was mad about Obama making Person of the Year. Yeah, but if they made the covers, no, they weren't. They were heroic, you know. Ooh, you know, whenever a conservative gets on.
She was nominated.
So, again, you can't pick and choose your reality, and you can't pick.
What do you mean you can't pick and choose?
Well, that's
why
what
not?
You want to do. So, you know.
It's our reality, ain't it?
So it's okay if John Wayne is on camera swaggering around shooting people.
Oh, yeah. He didn't kill too many people, did he?
Right, but if it's Boys in the Hood, you know.
Oh, no, it can't be Boys in the Hood.
You know, because
No. That's just nasty. That's
again,
right. You're absolutely true.
It just doesn't make sense. These people just, but here's the problem. Their myth of the Wild West, they're trying to force into reality on everyone. They want everybody to be swaggering. I mean, you remember that Bush Jr., for instance, our favorite little punching bag, but... Under his governorship, and this is the thing that, and I used to say this as a joke, but it's again part of the problem. When he was,
but it's still a joke.
Yeah, it's still a good joke, but it's true. It's absolutely true. But this is the epitome of regressive thinking. While he was governor of Texas, you just can't make these things up. It's just so beautiful. In the same moment, he made it legal to carry weapons anywhere and concealed. You can carry them in public, anywhere else, even in churches.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he made it legal. The whole state.
You
want to
shoot
that
minister.
Because, hey, you know what? Those people in the pews right beside you, those neighbors, now, forget turning the other cheek. Blow the other cheek off. That's what I was. Okay. Now, in the same breath, this man put guns in our churches, which is, to me, I mean, you cannot find a better example of anti-Christian thought, but okay. They put a gun in every church. Hallelujah! You know? And the same laws, he outlawed the purchase of, ownership of, or use of any sexual. So he made dildos, toys, vibrators, all that illegal. You could sell them or own them. Or
you know, you could get shot by one of them.
So, you know, talk about your secret police. They're going to have, you know, people monitoring people. And they did that because there was a case down there where he was homosexual, we call it, you know. So they were going to, you know, break into your home to make sure you don't have a dildo. But if you had 40 AK-47 leaned up against the wall, hey, you know, more power to you.
They're just resting.
That's fine. But that's the insanity. Guns in your churches and schools. But no sex in the bedroom. You know, I don't know what world or what planet they came from, but it's insane.
Is it insane?
It is insane.
Or is it just your losing mentality of not knowing? Now we have an expert that you know as a big one. His name is Alex Jones. You heard of him?
Oh, Alex.
Yeah.
Okay.
That it's now time to officially launch the Second American Revolution. We do not want to secede from the Union to destroy the Republic, but to restore it. We are seceding from the globalists. We are seceding from world government and the mega banks. Our country has already been taken over. I want to secede back to the Republic, back to our nation. The New World Order has taken over. We're not fighting just some corrupt politicians, and it's a little political issue. We have serious, hardcore authoritarians.
That-
Now, this is what I want to say. So,
if only I had a DeLorean, I could succeed back to the future.
Now,
what the heck?
How do you succeed? How do you get
back to the Republic?
Right. No, and that's fine. Back to 1776. That's good. Now, all right, fine. Now, if they left, would we have to have anything to do with them? What would they? Would they demand to have a treaty?
Is it like the mouse that roared where they attack us so they didn't get foreign aid?
Right.
Look, we talked about this when Texas. You remember when Terry pulled his BS, I'm going to secede, I guess if I don't get the nomination. But these people don't realize that we're all in this together. We're all connected. And that we the people pay for everything that we the people enjoy in life. And if they secede, first thing overnight is their electric grid, their, ports, their airports, their military bases, and everything else are going to be off and empty, sitting in the dark, And people are going to be like, what happened? Because everything that is paid for by our taxes, our government, we maintain all the roads, all the sewer systems, all the – that's what government
– Well, but wait.
They wouldn't have a standing
army, but
Air Force.
Does it say anywhere in the Constitution that we would have to, if they succeed
– Succeed. Yeah.
Succeed to secede.
Yes. succeed in seceding.
Right. If they could do that, does it say any place where we – have to maintain their roads?
No. It's not. They wouldn't be part
then,
of it.
Then what are they talking about?
Because they're mental midgets. And that's what, the thing he said, we don't want to, destroy them. We want to secede so that we can restore it. By definition.
But why would I let you back in if you go?
No,
especially when you're one of those red states that's causing all the freaking problems.
Remember we talked about definitions early on in the last round?
Yes.
Okay.
Bring them back again.
Didn't
talk about that.
When Obama was elected, they went ape, and they couldn't stand it because he was a black man, he's a liberal. So they literally hurled the dictionary at the guy. You remember, he was a socialist. He was a communist. He's a fascist. He's a
theocrat.
He's a
Muslim.
Okay. They if there's a big word and they've heard a liberal use it, they threw it at him because they don't know. They don't know what it means. You can't secede from something. It still belongs to it. You don't have any part of it. You seceded from it.
Well,
so by definition, anything that you leave and break apart is destroyed by definition.
You mean
it becomes
like getting divorced?
At home. Yeah. It becomes like,
unless you have kids.
the United States of America, it becomes the 50 different nations that were America.
Well.
That's what happened.
Oh, don't we have that in some place called Africa?
Yeah, this is exactly the problem. This is like the same reason we had these things called world wars in Europe, because they had all these little bitty states and they kept fighting over, well, that's my coal reserve. Well, those are my people. Well, I didn't like the Jews. You keep them. That's all they did, because they were individual little countries. We would do the same thing. So you cannot destroy something.
Oh, definitely we would do the same thing.
No, you can't destroy something and say you're saving it. You can't leave something and say you belong to it.
Well, that's so what's
they're,
that,
they're idiots.
What the Civil War was about?
Yeah. Well, and we did that one. They left to set up their own country, and then they got beaten, put back in. And part of the, thought process was that you can't leave. There is no secession process. You're part of the country, for good or ill. And you know what? They have these things called elections. If you don't like something, elect people and change the law, do whatever. But it's a representative government, and you get people.
No, I thought this was a democracy.
And that's why we have a couple kooks just like this that get to get on the air and say, the problem with shooting school kids is that the school kids weren't armed. But you know what? That's the good part. We're a democracy. They can say that.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
It didn't
well,
say
no,
people.
We're – see, we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic.
Yeah, that's true.
Because 51%, if that was the case – we would not have the problem in the Senate right now because this would have been passed already.
Yeah, well,
because we control the Senate.
Have any
we wouldn't have any problem at all. it would have been done deal.
Again, it's just a little insane. And these people don't know what they're talking about, and it cracks me up. I mean, that was a perfect example of we're going to destroy it so we can rebuild it. We're going to secede so that we can be a part of it. We're going, you know, they don't even know what they're talking about, much less what anybody else is.
But you see, the problem is they don't care if the moo-moos that are listening to them don't understand.
No, and they don't.
Because they don't understand because they keep them in the blind.
Well, this is the thing.
Like a duck blind.
It's all about making money. You know?
That's what it's about. It's about the bottom line is Ayn Rand.
Well, hey, look.
Everybody for themselves if you can.
This is why you got these things like, you know, Glenn Beck Inc. and Blowhard, Blowfit. What's this guy's name on the radio?
Rush.
Yeah,
Rush.
That guy.
Blowhard.
Yeah.
Well,
so the reason we have these
Neil Bort is retired, you know,
and they're just saying anything.
Herring Kane now has his radio spot.
But they'll say anything because it sounds dramatic. And that's the thing.
It's a sellout for money. Here you got Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint, this moron from South Carolina, who only got elected because they had another moron, a black guy, Green, from South Carolina, who ran against him. That was the only way he could get elected.
Right.
And he got elected, and he said the very first time he saw where he could make a dime more than he was making as a senator, he quit the Senate and went there.
Yeah.
He don't give a damn about this country.
No, he doesn't.
It's about what I have.
What can I make mine? Exactly. If it were about helping everybody and making the country a better place and all that, he'd be up there serving.
But he said, oh, no, I can help this country better by working in private industry than I can with the country.
Yeah.
I mean, can you actually believe? Well, I can believe because they will say anything and people will believe it. People will believe it.
Yeah, and it's all about me. What's in it for me? How can I make me richer, more powerful? And that's all they care about, you know.
They care about nothing.
And that's the problem. That is the problem.
They
don't care about.
Who was the one that said they care about nothing? They don't do anything for anybody. I can't remember the saying about. There's about three or four things that says, you know, you care about nothing. You don't do anything for anybody. You contribute to nothing, and something else. But the thing is that.
But what's in it for me? That's all.
What's in it for me? The bottom line.
Right.
What's in it for me? So DeMint left the Senate because he said he will have more power at the Heritage Foundation than he. Yeah. $175,000 versus $1 million salary.
Yeah.
But you know what he's got, though, with his $1 million salary? He also has a lifetime worth of healthcare free because he was a government senator.
Yep.
And he served his 6 years.
Ain't that nice? Isn't that called socialism?
So he doesn't even need
Isn't
to take insurance.
Early?
He doesn't have to think about insurance because his whole family and all his children, if he has any that aren't weird, can go to school for free because they don't pay school insurance.
They
can get the loan. Yeah, they can get a loan, and they don't have to pay it back. That's correct.
Yeah. So he gets a free ride, but some poor woman in the inner city.
And he's getting $1 million a year. He can afford to pay for it.
Oh, of course.
But
and this is the same type of dude, I can guarantee you, that's voting against raising any kind of tax on a millionaire because why should they have to pay for it?
Because he's a millionaire now.
Of course.
See, he was one of the poorest people in the Senate.
You know, he isn't any longer. But, again, it's that lack of compassion, that lack of caring for anybody that really gets me, especially for these people who, you know, these are the same ones that every other breath they have to say something about Jesus or how Christian they are, right? But where is the compassion? Where is the love of thy neighbor? Or where is the care for the little children? I mean, I don't get it. These people, in the same breath that they are cutting your health care out, cutting your Social Security, cutting your Medicare, cutting your welfare, and talking about freeloaders, this and that, are getting free everything themselves and
And they're also cutting their own
taxes. Since he was from one of the poorest states in the entire country, I wonder how much freeloading he got.
No doubt. Look.
How much freeload did he get?
The stats we looked at back years ago when Obama was first running, and they were running against him, and they were talking about, you know, it was all basically all, you know, Bush doctrine and collapse the economy. It was all about money at the time.
Right.
But we were looking at the stats, and one of the things that was funniest to us was that all of these, you know, Republican strongholds were in the, you know, we were trying to turn North Carolina and stuff, but the Republican strongholds in the South. And we were looking at, and Republican strongholds are always the very poor states, the ones with the least education and the least health benefits. They're the ones that are running because they can only, you know, dupe people who don't have the means to understand they're being duped. But anyway, the thing that cracked us up the most was the Republicans who are anti-government, anti-handout, you know, anti any kind of social or health care or anything else that could be construed as, you know, a burden on the tax. They're the ones. Remember, every state that we looked at were the number one recipients of all federal aid. They were the number one recipients, every southern state. And when we looked at the charts, the northern states paid for all the southern states. You remember that? Their taxes go straight.
We've been doing that since the Civil War.
Yeah. So it cracks me up that these people who rail against all the evils and all these freeloaders are the freeloading states. What the hell are you talking about?
And there are more people in the northern states that have as many people there that are just as poor as in the southern states because they got more people.
Yep. Well, that was one thing. Look, I got in that argument one time. I told you about, you know,
you
my past in Mississippi.
Your friend down there.
There's some friends down there, and there was one of them that I got in an argument with one time. He got, he was pointing out the evils of liberals, and he said how they stole elections.
Ooh,
and he said,
they steal?
He said they steal all those elections. He said he heard that up in Chicago and New York. All they did was just steal elections because they just, you know, then all the dead people can vote and everything else, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, I don't understand. He said, this is wrong. He said, you know, they can steal something by just winning. They could win New York City, but then they could lose all of Mississippi, and it counts more or something. He said, how could that even happen? You know, one city can outweigh a state like ours.
Yeah,
said,
right.
And I said, it's about population, right? And he just said, yeah, it just meant nothing. He was like, it's just wrong. It's a little city. It's just one little
town. It's a little
city. And he said, how can that outweigh a
state? Bigger than the whole state.
And I'm like, hey, man. I said, you know, Mississippi also outweighs, like, Wyoming. I mean, you know, it's the people, right? It's the population. But it doesn't – they can't conceive them.
And you see now
– they don't understand.
These are people that did go to high school.
Yeah, unfortunately. apparently it didn't take, but they went.
I mean – they did learn a little bit about civics and about how the are they one of the people that the Progressive Party is trying to talk about not being permitted to vote because they're not smart enough? Is that what George Bush said? That? Not George Bush, Rush Limbaugh said that.
Yeah.
Maybe they just shouldn't vote because they don't know what they're talking about.
If that were the case, they would lose overnight. Their entire base would be forbidden from voting. What do you think?
It's so incredible. These people are so whacked out.
Hey, you remember, this is one of my favorite quotes, just for stupidity. I'm just going to...
Just for stupidity?
Just because it's stupid. You remember, I think it was Perry who came out with this statement. But when I asked one time, he was doing some prayer meeting, and then he was saying something about anti-Spanish language laws. That he was going to make it English only, right? You made the whole statement. And I said, why are you doing something like that? And then they said, don't you think it's unchristian to do that and say that they have to speak Spanish? I mean, English only, these are Spanish people, blah, 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 blah. And he went, speaking of Christ, he said, I'm just going, he said, if English was good enough for Christ to speak in the Bible, it's good enough for
Christ.
Freaking moron. Oh.
Yes, well, didn't he speak with an English or Cockney accent? Or was it an English accent?
Yeah. I guess he also had that Bible that had the blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus, right?
You remember those pictures?
Listen to this.
I can't remember anything that happened before 2 weeks ago.
That's what you think of when you think of what these people are trying to imply. Here is a guy who, Jason Bourne, can't remember nothing. Can't remember nothing about who he is, what he is. This is what the Regressive Party does. They say, hey, don't pay attention to what my hand is doing over here. Don't pay attention to what my hand's doing over here. Pay attention to me, why I'm robbing you.
Yeah, listen to my words.
Listen to my words. Even though I don't make any common sense whatsoever, it is good for you because I know what's good for you. I know what's good for you.
Yeah, just because somebody's holding your arm and in a kind way. Doesn't mean they're not taking your watch.
Oh, you mean they're not? But we have these people. We have these.
Here's some. That clip you just played?
Yeah.
Man, there's another group. Now, this one you won't recognize, but in the 80s, under Papa Bush in Reagan, there was a group, rock group, came out with one of these concept albums. Well, the whole album is one story, start to finish,
yeah.
Not individual songs. So they came out with it. The group name is Queensryche. But they came out with this album called Operation Mindcrime. And the entire concept was about just exactly that, about controlling people, brainwashing people. And that was the Operation Mindcrime, was to dumb you down, get you to do everything against yourself, basically. And the story was of a guy who was brought into this whole thing, brainwashed, and turned into a killer. And he went and killed, you know, politicians and priests and all this other stuff that were against the cause. Because you have to believe in the cause, right? Whatever they told you. Was.
Mm-hmm.
But in one part, at the beginning, that's how it starts. And he goes, I can't remember yesterday. I can't remember doing what they told me, all this kind of stuff.
And right.
He goes, I only remember that. I only remember doing exactly what they tell me. And then it goes into the whole memory and tells the entire story of how he descends into this madness and comes out. But that's exactly what you're talking about, and I've always remembered it to this day. I always put that label exactly on Republicans because they become very adept at it. But that's what they do. It's a mind crime.
It's
brainwashing and making people vote against their interests and stand there passively while they're robbed of everything. Their money, their future, their health, everything.
Think about voting against your own self-interest.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
I mean, can you say any better than that?
Hey, this is their own mental founders sitting here basically laying it out starkly, exactly what they want to do and what they think of you. And, you know, it's no wonder that people like that, that want to manipulate people and lie and cheat and steal all day long, would do things like, oh, I don't know, destroy healthcare.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah,
destroy mental,
healthcare.
Destroy mental aid. Because you know what? If you had a functional healthcare system and a functional mental aid system in America, you might could get better. You might could help yourself. You might could learn to stand on your own two feet and think for yourself. But I bet you,
if you were desperate and you had the clutches kicked out from under you and you had no help and nowhere to turn, I bet you could be manipulated and controlled.
Well, isn't that the whole idea about manipulation? Isn't that the whole idea behind manipulating people, is to get them to do things that are not in their own self-interest?
And that was, you know, we were talking about FDR earlier, but isn't one of the greatest things, in the face of absolute evil, like Adolf Hitler, in the face of an entire world at war, and in the face of the elimination of people, the destruction of entire cities, and the overrunning of freedom and democracy worldwide, you know, he was warning people, hey, the only thing you had to fear is fear itself. He was telling people, stand up, think for yourself, be strong, and you can survive anything. He wasn't telling people, arm yourself, hide in the bunker, this is the end.
Well, no, and that is, wasn't that the actual theme in the movie V? From Vendetta. I mean,
hey.
All the people out there all wearing the mask.
The Guy Fawkes
mask. They didn't all have guns. Didn't need a gun.
Didn't need a gun.
But all the people were wearing the same mask because they were thinking the same way. They were all going to do the same thing.
Remember that old quote, most dangerous thing in the world. Hide it. The only thing you can ever stop. Hide.
Well, and wasn't that the, what was the name, 1984?
Are we back to Ayn Rand again?
Yeah, no, the book, Orwell's 1984.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of
No. The book, 1984. I mean, the idea was to get rid of that. The idea.
Yeah. Hey,
kill the idea.
Everything is double
C. Kill the idea, and you kill thought, individual thought.
That's the whole point. You can't control people's instincts.
Absolutely.
It's like animals. Yeah, you can train a dog to do something, but you can't train people to do things. That's the break.
Well, there's a lot of things you have to break too with a dog. But except my dog Mulder, he just didn't go along with every single thing.
That's because they like to do what they like to do.
No, that's because he was 120 pounds.
Yeah,
he gets 120 pounds.
Yeah, the regressive part is helping the regression. But it's all about control. And the people got to wake up. Better. No better wake up call. And all of those good.
All right.
That better change the mind.
So, all right. Where do we go from here? Now that Wayne Lapalooza has come out and said that all we need to do is arm everybody.
Yeah, to throw some more guns at the
mix. Right, but did he say AK-47s, handguns, Glocks? I haven't seen it. I haven't had a chance to read into it.
What
but the thing is, though, It didn't help Debbie Gifford, who had Secret Service around her. It didn't help Ronald Reagan, that had Secret Service around him. It didn't help JFK, that had Secret Service around him. It didn't help RFK or Martin Luther King. It didn't help them. They all had guns. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, everybody can't live in an armored car and an escort.
But it still didn't, because all those people were living in armored cars, practically, except for King and Gabby Gifford.
And you know, putting a SWAT team next to the gymnasium in every school ain't going to help you.
And, yeah, suppose they come in the front door, not the gymnasium.
Exactly. I mean, it's all, you know, again, it's ridiculous. But you know what?
But what was the point they were trying to – what was their point for coming out and saying that?
Well, you know, their point is the same as always. Their point is to stop the hemorrhaging, to stop the damage. Right?
Okay, but how did that stop the hemorrhage?
All they're trying to do is stop the debate. Yeah, they did this after all the rest of them. You remember there was
been
push. Like every time
this. But there has been no push like this push.
Yeah, you know, of course, because this time it's children, and you know, other times you can always kind of come up with something as a kind of an out, you know, an adult, or it was this or that. You gotta, just this one being so horrifying, it's different. But they always come out with the same thing. Their first thing is usually, hey, let's all calm down, step back, let's take a year off and think about this, because we don't want to do anything with the, you know, passion. We got to cool down. Yeah, that's always there. Because it gives them space so that then they can defeat anything.
Well, they think time will heal all.
What I think he's doing here is what they're always trying to do. And they did it effectively after Columbine and everywhere else. You know, they put that gun sale right there and all that. And you remember their guns? They had about a 40% increase in gun sales after that. But they killed everybody, 11 fear, 5 guns, fear on my head. And they're doing it again. It's about making money. They don't care what we're doing. Only thing they want, they don't want any kind of law that restricts their ability to make money and sell guns. So, of course, they're going to try to fight that. But in the meantime, because, you know, that's all down the road, whatever legislation is. They can buy other people and do that in Washington. But what they need to do right now is simultaneously quiet any kind of negative press that's going on. But at the same time, scare the bejesus out of it, right? And make you want to go buy a gun and buy your neighbor a gun and buy your teacher a gun and buy your Boy Scout leader a gun and buy the, you know, church a gun and everything else. And then you better get a concealed carry so that you can carry them everywhere. I want one in every pocket. I want it in my shoes. I want it in my hat. You know, what the heck? But that's what the world they want to live in, because guess what? That's how they make money.
Well, they
if you don't live in fear, they make no money.
The day before the shooting in
Listen, just one thing. Every 5 minutes on TV, I see these stupid home security ads.
Oh, yeah.
That's nothing, living in fear. They always had somebody kicking in the door while the mom's with the daughter changing the diaper or something.
She's taking a shower.
And it's like, oh, my God. And then there's somebody on the booming voice, get out, we're watching you. Now, I love this. This is the anti-government, anti-big everything. You want them out of your life. We don't want any more, you know, oversight, and they are intruding in your life. But put a private company
watching
in your home
with
a camera
in
every corner,
right,
so that they can watch you while you're in the shower, walking down the hall, playing with your kids, or having sex with your wife, or something, and make sure that you're not murdered and raped by the evil people trying to get into your castle. Oh, it's insanity, right? It's the most intrusive, crazy insanity I've ever heard. But again, it's all fear.
Yeah. Is that camera always on, or only when you put on the button?
Always on. Because how else? I mean,
when you hit the button, right?
You
got to put the alarm on.
If you didn't have it, how would they know when?
Because
the
I think you have to put the alarm on, and then it signals it. But they can override that. I saw that in Criminal Minds. The killer was one of those guys that was setting up the cameras in the house.
How brilliant would that be? You get a camera in every home.
So, and then he would hook it up to their computer, their laptop. So he was watching them. He would turn it when they turned on their computer and turn it off.
Yeah.
He would turn on the camera.
Yeah. Well, you
know, you know everybody was rich, and you know where everybody hit everything, and you know when they were out of the house. I mean, that'd be perfect. Perfect robbery scene. But anyway, that's all. I don't care about any of that. That's all. My whole point is the pushing of fear, the pushing of it, that's all this industry cares about. Because if you're not scared that at every moment somebody's going to kill you and your children and everything you value and take everything from you, then you're not going to go buy weapons and hunker in the corner. And that's all they care about. They want you to buy not one weapon. And they don't mean to go hunt deer once a year when it comes to season.
Well,
they mean a weapon for right now in your bedroom, or one for the living room. Get one for the kitchen, too. You know, you better get three or four guns because they could come in from anywhere. You may not be able to reach the nightstand. You know, that's their whole point. It's sales. You got to say it's a good program. It's like a horror movie. You know?
He's got a chainsaw and a machete. You know?
It just is so unbelievably horrid.
Well, it's so over the top that it's almost ludicrous, but it ain't.
You're talking about over the top. It's almost like a cartoon.
Yeah, but see, that's the point. Look at one of the most successful villains in recent years, the Joker, right? And by which I mean the new Joker, the representation,
right,
of the new Batman movie.
Oh,
the thing that was so
I thought you were talking about Mitt Romney.
I'm not talking about the Joker from the old days.
I'm talking about the
absolute
right.
terroristic insane
right.
Joker.
Right.
That was horrible to watch because you were dealing with somebody who literally was a anarchist serial killer.
Right.
And he didn't care about it. He wanted to just hurt people and inflict as much misery as possible. And in that situation.
Yeah, well, is that what the butler said? He says, well, what does he want? He said he wants nothing.
Yes. But again, you remember the point of that is that he brought the whole city to its knees.
Right.
He brought everybody with his fear. Everybody said, hey, to the point, you know, Batman was operating as a vigilante. He
right.
Because he's definitely trying to stop it. So he's breaking every law.
Right.
To stop it. And, you know, oddly enough, he gets the, breaks into the ADT system or whatever and starts monitoring every home and every
right.
hammer, you know, with Echelon or whatever. And, but anyway, he's doing everything in his power as one crazy man can, you know. But the point was, in the end, guess who won and guess who stopped it all? We the people.
Yeah.
All the people on the boat that the Joker went,
right.
Shoot each other first.
That's
They're
right.
They're going to get you.
Right.
Get them. And he yelled it. Now, until finally somebody just went, you know what? The answer is not shoot each other. It isn't who's got more guns and bombs and explosives and who can pull faster on the trigger. The answer is put the weapon down.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, you remember the Joker? He was like, "What? Huh? What?"
Yeah.
What? He became a nothing. He became irrelevant. And then it was over. There was no disaster. There's no crime. There's no fear. There's no nothing because you put the weapon down. I mean, that's how you end gun violence. You don't have guns.
Well, I just want to say that we have to. This is our Christmas show.
Oh, well.
This is our Christmas show.
Well, hey, it was a bad, depressing week, but let's get.
This is our Christmas show. Now, I just got me a brand new 42 inch TV.
Brand new 42 inch TV.
It is. Got it hooked up. AT&T came. They did the. I just did swap, but what happened is I couldn't get the audio on. I get the audio on, I couldn't get the video on because one of the cables I used with the other TV, which was not a definition TV,
right.
didn't use here, so he was switching around. So he came in and hooked it up, but then I come to find out that my other TV, which is wasn't on high definition. He's got high definition here, and I can see a difference. I mean, there's a major difference between regular TV, high definition. Oh
yeah.
I mean,
beautiful.
1,000% better. So, guy hooked it up, and now before I could use the stereo to operate the TV through.
Right.
Can't do that now. But it's got stereo in the TV. But I'd like to have, I thought I was going to be able to use play a regular show on TV and have it play through the speakers like I used to. I still think I could do that, but I haven't figured it out. So,
so
I got
you're
that.
Basically saying it's beginning to look.
My Now, the only thing I want now is to get my Nokia Note.
Ah, you want that Note. Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. But they had the new one out. They were supposed to come down. The new one, it's always going to come out to be $499, and they'll drop the Nokia down to $99. Yeah, they dropped down to $199. Okay. But we'll take a trade-in on your Samsung Focus. I said, really? Yeah, he said, oh, well, I'll tell you what the trade-in would be. I said, oh, man, it'd be great. Yeah, $16.
What about the iPad Mini? What about that?
Nah, I don't want that iPad. It's another iPad. No. I need to use the Samsung Note. I can do everything that Note that I can do with the Mini. Everything. And I can carry it in my jacket pocket. I can't carry the iPad in my jacket pocket.
All the computers and phones, everything are basically all merging. So everything has the capability of everything.
I know.
I mean, you look at these things, the phones, the e-readers, the notepads, the computers, they're all getting fantastic.
And it is really a...
I'm thinking about upgrading any day now, man. I'm going to get rid of the rotary.
Rotary dial?
I've heard that they... Now I don't even have to have it plugged into my wall.
Oh.
I'm going to be able to walk around anywhere. They call from anywhere. Now, I don't know how that works, but I'm going to upgrade.
That's called a mobile phone.
It's incredible.
Yes.
I can't wait.
And you can fit in your pocket. That's right.
Good.
Fit in your pocket.
Well, how does that whole box?
Of course, now Big Brother will be following you because they can monitor that chip. You know that. That's right. So you need to, not AET, Big Brother.
Big BB.
Yeah. I mean, something that Anonymous really has to speak to you about. And if you speak about Anonymous, I don't know.
Hey, what's the show you watch with the dude that monitors all the computers, all the cameras everywhere, follows everybody around?
You sure again? That's Person of Interest.
Person of Interest.
Yes, Person of Interest.
That show gave me chills, Mike. That was a little bit too much.
As a matter of fact, I have to catch up on it. I haven't seen the last week because I've been so busy with this. But technology now.
Cool.
Now, what is going to be? We have another 7 minutes left, but I wanted.
I think I'll have to put some cheer.
We're going to have some.
Even though your apple pie is very good.
We have to have a little more apple pie here. And I was looking at. We're going to have a little bit of a Christmas vacation here. I think that we should have this one. We just missed the president just came out with a political press conference. Well, I agree 100%. I think that that would be a wonderful, if all that could be gun in a short time period. But
hey,
now that I know,
4 years.
Now that I know that it can't be done, would say that where we are and have like represent, we have people who are speaking for themselves, not for us. We have people speaking for themselves who don't care about the people that present, because what has happened, they have so diluted the process of people of their thinking he goes by. So it wasn't just that the verbal thing, so you tell the big lies long enough, people will believe you, they'll believe anything. They have sold this lie so long that it's going to take us a hell of a time. Yeah. But as long as we know that there's a process going on, we can look.
Oh, yeah.
That we cannot give up on. There's a process.
That's
as long as there's a problem out there, we can fix it. And it is, it will be a wonderful year to look forward to, that we can just see that, we've come from a hell of a way back. I mean, we were down at 6,000 on the Dow Jones. It's over 13,000 now.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was under a community organizer.
Yeah.
We got here under a community organizer. The country didn't fold. We're not like Jim DeMint said, but we're not sitting in the tubes. Well, I don't know if we'd go over the system. I think the system of Olympics is a lot of a mark. I think it's physically, it's nothing but just something that needs to be done, because these people are so backed up and so backed in it. This would not have happened if it wasn't for this man being off. They don't want to give this man no credit whatsoever. That's the only thing that's holding back.
Pointed out on the street. These guys are so bold, hard line. So the problem is they're going to have to go to the cliff so that against their will, magically, all those brakes go.
For our rap, yes.
We're so glad it's Christmas vacation.
Jesus.